go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running, live from the fabulous foreign studios in the magnificent Kincaid Mansion, high in the hills and hollers of almost level West by Cold Trump, Virginia stand. Yeah, hi, I'm Robin, back home, where I belong, and this is Friday on the Front Porch for the third day of September 2021. Yes, indeed, yes, indeed. Everybody, Agnes and I have teched everything. The tech problems that bedeviled me in Alabama are no longer with us. And I'm ever so happy to announce that. So, shouldn't have any problem bringing in the Friday on the Front Porch conversation group. It appears that the stress line works as advertised. And, well, I presume this stream is getting out to you. Brother Deacon Asa says that the packets are passing and the streams are streaming. So, that's a win. And, wow, what a beautiful day. Summer is slow, not so slowly dying, and there has not been a cloud in the sky all day. The sky has been just exquisitely, heartbreakingly blue. Temperature's not too bad. It's only 76 degrees here in the Fabulous Horn Studios right now. It's even a little too chilly for, naked radio, which is fine by me because, you know, if you recall, when I last broadcast from this space, the air conditioner had died. It's still dead, but mercifully, we've got a box fan in the window, lovingly placed there by Agnes, and it's not at all terrible. And what a blessing that is. I'm sure, I don't know, maybe we'll have a few more warm days. We just haven't had much warmth during this summer. It's odd. Hard to believe that exactly a week ago, I was firing up Friday on the Front Porch from one of the most beautiful places on earth. And we had a couple of lovely days in the sun and the surf and the sand, and then Ida came. But, you know, Mark Twain warned about thinking about things like this, but we did use our prodigious trans powers, cosmic trans powers, to keep where we were from getting the shit smacked out of us. But, well, everything has a cost, right? Yeah. I did the Hi, I'm Robin part. Yeah, every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. That means we have a great deal of thank yous to send out for the because we haven't. I haven't broadcast since the beginning of September. So huge thanks go out to our third, second, and first day of the month subscribers. Thank you to Gene and Ann across the pond. Thank you, John. Thank you, Bill in Allentown. Thank you, Stephen. And thank you, Mick. And by the way, thank you to Jessica. Jessica jumped in and said, taking exceptions to a comment you made on last Friday's program about being the whitest woman in America. Stares at you in albino. Seriously, though, I'm glad you were able to go south and have a girls' weekend with a wonderful group of people, especially the lovely Terry Ellen. I hope there were lots of hugs and happy tears involved, Robin. There were. Oh, Jessica, there were. Thank you as well to George. Thank you, George, so very kindly. Thank you, Rocco. Thank you to Elizabeth. Thank you, Will in Chicago. And thank you as well to an anonymous friend for a have a show on me that took a big bite out of the... We left with a huge deficit in August. Thank you to Chris. Thank you to John at Home Dirts. Thank you to Rusty, Joseph. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, one and all. And thank you to Chris and Chris in Germany and Ralps. And thank you to Shorty in L.A. For providing the funds for Shirley's Memorial Challenge. Shirley's Memorial Challenge that became Bruce's Memorial Challenge. We have a $300 challenge that begins with the first broadcast day of every month. That's on the table this evening. And if we can meet that, we will go a long way toward being off to a proper start for the month of September. The fundraising goal as it stands is $1,200. Meeting Bruce's challenge will take it to six. Thank you to a dear, dear, dear anonymous friend, like I said, for the Have a Show on Me. Otherwise, it would have been much worse. You know who you are. Thank you. Thank you so, so kindly. The temperature in New York, Stephen, New York says, is a beautiful 22 degrees. That's 72 for you mere mortals still using the Fahrenheit scale. Yeah, I know. I'm just not, can't make that conversion very well. But, 72 in New York is just about perfect. Mm-hmm. Although, oh, God, I love that heat down there. That, and the humidity. I don't mind the humidity. And that offshore breeze. Oh, just heaven. Or onshore breeze. I don't know. The breeze. It's always there, and it's nice. We had lovely accommodations, and my thanks go out to all of my sisters who worked so hard to make it such a lovely weekend. I can't wait to hopefully do it again. It would be wonderful. Well, like I said, it's Friday on the front porch, and here in about an hour's time, we will gather together over the river and through the trees to the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves, wherein we keep the extraordinary, ordinary round table around which we gather and where Sparky sits at the seat of honor, the lightsaber gripped tightly in his hands, and cuss and discuss at the end of the week. And it being the first broadcast of the month of September, there's not going to be any shortage of stuff to talk about. Any and all are welcome to jump in, and I presume the button is still there at the top of headon.live. Yeah, Billable Rick says, Robin, stop bragging about your awesome trans powers. Have they ever gotten you a hole-in-one? You know, I'm not going to walk into that one, because that's just a little too easy, Billable. No, but they're gonna! Never mind. Okay, I couldn't resist. Because that's another thing. We haven't spoken since Tuesday, and there were big doings on Wednesday. I got up about 4 o'clock in the morning on Wednesday morning because I was just too and showered and dressed and got on out the door, and thanks again to my dear friend Lila for hosting me for a couple of days. That was just wonderful, and I had a lovely time. But I drove on down. It's about 2 hours from Florence to Birmingham. I had no problems finding the UAB Medical Center. It had been some 24 years since last I was there, under far more sad and tragic circumstances. This, on the other hand, well, this was these were much different circumstances. I went up to the clinic and had my physical exam and my consultation with my doctor, and I'm cleared for liftoff, y'all. We even have a date. And we can talk about this later if you want, but the date is November the 9th, 2021. That's when my surgery will take place, as long as the insurance company cooperates, and as long as everyone does, all the other plates spin on all the other sticks, and everything, everything works together. That's the big date. So I will be temporarily relocating to Birmingham, Alabama, for probably about 6 weeks. And I'll be off air It is reasonable to assume I'll be off air for, well, I know I'm going to be in the hospital for a week. And after that, it'll probably be another week before I feel like doing much of anything. But we'll be down there. I'll set up the rig, and as soon as I feel good enough to begin broadcasting again, you can bet I will fire up the microphone, maybe even fire up the cameras, and see how it all plays out. I got the news as I was driving home yesterday, and a lady from UAB called me and said, we're just calling to see if you'd like to set up a date for your procedure. And I said, yes, please. And she was just so sweet and so lovely. And I'm kind of like on cloud nine, sort of can't believe this is actually really honest to goodness happening. But it is, and I can't tell you how happy I am. So, you know, there's a little bit of downtime coming, but that we've got the entire month of September, the entire month of October, and it's going to be big. It's going to be really, really big. I will, of course, keep everybody posted as we go, but enough about me. Let's talk about Joey. Don't be scared, Ralphs. Ralph says, I need to pick up some prescriptions and food after 6 p.m. Central Time, and a friend of mine might have COVID, so I have to pick up my prescriptions and food in isolation, and I'm going to get a COVID test tomorrow. I'm scared. So if Bruce's memorial challenge is met, let me know. Hugs. Hugs, Ralphs. I know how scary it can be. I got COVID tested on a week ago yesterday. And it's not pleasant, but it was over fairly quickly. It was really funny. I looked at the young man who tested me down at the beach house, and later on, they hadn't said anything to me. I said, so, did I pass? And bear in mind, it's in a room full of trans women. And he's like, why are you asking me? Oh, that kind of pass. Yes, you passed. You're COVID negative. Yeah, I know. I know. Best thoughts, best hopes, best wishes with you, Ralphs. Breathe easy and stay safe. Steve in New York wants to know, hasn't your transition with the smearing mascara from sweating in hot weather taught you the error of your ways and your infatuation with hot weather? No, it has taught me to use waterproof mascara in heat like that. Yeah. Right. Kidneys, man. Kidneys, right? But no, like I said, that's enough about me. Let's talk about Joey. Flood of thoughts. Joey writes, early Tuesday morning, Jeffrey and I embarked on a trip to the northeastern states of this country. I had previously set foot in 47 continental U.S. states, but I had never set foot in Jeremy's beloved home state of Vermont. So, Jeremy in Vermont, this Joey's journal is for you, my good friend. Vermont is a French name, Vermont. As I suspected, and in French, Vermont's name was derived from the term Montagne Verte, which literally translates into Green Mountain, hence the nickname of the state, the Green Mountain State. What a beautiful state, and I'm glad that I actually have officially set foot in Vermont, considering as a teenager my parents took me out on our boat to Lake Champlain, which separates New York from Vermont, but I was not sure if we actually crossed over into Vermont waters. Yet, meanwhile, here's Jeffrey. Well, please do not say waters, because normally I really like high objects, but I do not like high waters. Yes, Jeffrey, neither do I. More on that later. As I said, Jeffrey and I were on the road at 5:15 a.m. Tuesday morning. That's what the a.m. part means, in the morning. With our first destination being a trip to Jim Thorpe, Pennsylvania. A town that was recently named in honor of the great indigenous American athlete. The little hamlet was beautiful and reminded Jeffrey and me of a small French village by the name of Orléans in France. I'll speak more of that in another journal, but yes, people from that village of France settled in the south and named the little city down there none other than New Orléans. Well, so those French initially took a bath in New Orleans because they did not know how to control the water. They eventually built a great irrigation system with ducts and canals to control the waters, and that was called in French structure. Oh, Jesus. Really, Jeffrey? Unfortunately, in recent years, their infrastructure has not been enhanced, and New Orleans is again underwater. Good job, Jeffrey. After we left Jim Thorpe, we headed down to Allentown to visit the one and only Bill from Allentown. Jeffrey and I were so thrilled to get to meet Bill, and Jeffrey remarked what a wonderful, humble human being Bill is. We had a lunch together and shared our lives in that short hour. That's why I'm so grateful for your show, Robin, because of all the amazing people I've gotten to meet in person and gotten to know personally. I'm so glad that we live in a country in which we can travel freely and meet people of like mind. Jeffrey has a thought. Well, for now, we can anyways enjoy it while it lasts, because the bullshit in Texas is coming to a town near you real soon. Jeffrey makes a very good point there. Jeffrey and I then hopped back in the car and headed for Jersey, as I've done in the past, stayed at the Parsippany Hilton right off I-287. Or maybe 287. I don't know if there's an I in front of it or not. The 287 for the Californians in the group. I had plans to go down south to South Jersey and have breakfast with Richard's son, Jay, the famous editor and owner of a recording studio in South Philly. And then I was going to come back up to New York City and meet with Tara Devlin for dinner, because Jeffrey and I had an interview with Tara for the currently open job of producer of her show. Tara told me that Jeffrey was probably overqualified for the job. Well, Jeffrey did not care, considering he hears all this all the time from people. When you stand 17 feet tall, people tend to think of you too highly and automatically believe that you're overqualified. Jeffrey and I were supposed to go to the Mets baseball game on Tuesday night, but considering it was going to rain the next day, we passed on the game and just took a tour of Manhattan. Jeffrey's highest priority for the trip was to see the tallest building in the country and the tallest fence or wall in baseball. So on a beautiful Tuesday evening, we drove from Times Square all the way down to the Freedom Tower, which is now the tallest in the country, standing at 1,776 feet tall, surpassing the formerly named Sears Tower in Chicago. It was a beautiful evening at a stunning sight, looking at all the lights and amazing skyline of New York City. We then hopped on the FDR freeway, and I've been on that highway, and headed back to Parsippany for the evening, and actually for a lot longer, as it turned out. After listening to the news reports, which morphed into the full-time weather reports on WCBS Radio, all weather, all the time, an all-news channel, which I can pick up in the evenings back in Ohio, I texted Tara and Jay and told them I was just going to stay in at the hotel on Wednesday because the weather forecast was just so terrible. We did not know what we were in for. Jeffrey recounts the weather forecast. The remnants of Hurricane Ida arrived around, get it? Yeah, see what he did there? Yeah. I bought a little stuffed llama to ride home with me from Alabama. She also had a long neck, and she's all pink and blue and white. And when I got home, I gave it to my little granddaughter, and she seems very, very happy with it. Jeffrey continues, maybe about noon, and it rained and rained and rained for nearly 15 hours straight. We watched in horror as the local television stations, WABC, WNBC, and WCBS, WNBC, were showing horrific scenes of people being stranded in subways, cars floating down the very FDR highway that we were on the night before, and people being rescued as their basements were completely flooded. Then we started hearing reports of how New Jersey was beginning to flood all around us. To the east, we had Clifton and Passaic flooding. To the south, Morristown was heavily flooded. And then immediately to the west, the next town over, Denville streets were beginning to flood. Joey began to panic, wondering if we could access 287, because just north of Parsippany, right next to 287, is a huge lake that could easily overflow. All we could do was just sit and wait till dawn and hope the highway was open. Joey then decided to take me down to the front desk and inquire consigner had any information, and he did not. But just then, out of nowhere, two sheriffs came through the door from Allegheny County, Pennsylvania, which Joey immediately recognized as the county that houses Pittsburgh. Joey asked them what the hell they were doing up here in Jersey, especially with the impending storm. They said they were here to pick up somebody. I, Jeffrey the Giraffe, immediately started cheering and asked them if they were here to pick up Donald Trump, considering it was a holiday weekend and he'd probably be at his golf course. Joey then told the deputies not to pay any attention to me and wondered if they had any information about the roads. Sure enough, they said 287 was fine. Jeffrey's Trump remark was pretty good, though. So after a couple of hours of nap and 4:30 a.m., Jeffrey and I accessed 287 with no issue and headed north. Wanted to leave early because I knew there would be a lot of traffic on 287 because Route 95 was completely shut down at the George Washington Bridge, and so the trucks would be forced to go on 287. I told Jeffrey to hang on to the room keys just in case we had to go back. Richard always told me that if ever we were in calamity at the casino, don't surrender your room, because legally you cannot easily be removed. How ironic, two sheriffs would show up from Pittsburgh that night, and I would remember Richard giving me that excellent counsel. We escaped unharmed as Route 287, which turns into 87, was free and clear, and the sunrise was beautiful over the Hudson Valley as we drove north to have lunch with Jeremy in Burlington, Vermont. I felt very fortunate to have escaped and called my wife, who made Jeffrey and I say, "Praise Jesus." My wife said she could not hear Jeffrey giving proper praise. I told her Jeffrey was looking up toward the sky. Nice play. 9, I called Tara to see if she was okay in Queens. Tara told me all was sunny in Sunnyside, Queens, and just like when Hurricane Sandy came through, we had no flooding then, and we have no flooding now. I'm very lucky to live where I do. I wondered how Steve and Lee were doing, not to mention Paul from Parts Unknown, who I believe lives in the greater New York City area. Well, that's a secret, and I'm not going to confirm or deny that. Jeffrey, on the other hand, is a ray of sunshine. Well, I don't care what the show says. According to Jay in Philadelphia, it is not always sunny in Philadelphia. As a tree crashed into his studio and did some minimal damage, I told Joey that he should ask Jay if they had to send the limb to triage. Oh, you know, when Jeffrey has to be silent for a few days, he piles all the bad puns into one journal. I can only imagine what Todd in South Carolina is feeling as he watches images of the Schuylkill River completely flooding I-676, the main highway from Center City, Philly, to the Pennsylvania Turnpike. And then there's that Moran Monday Mansion saying that we just can't afford $3.5 trillion in infrastructure when two major cities in this country are underwater. Fuck you, Joe. We had a great time with Jeremy in Vermont up in Burlington, and Jeffrey and I can just not get over how beautiful Vermont truly is. Just stunning. Jeremy's a fascinating person, and we had a great conversation over some excellent pizza. And then we went and watched the fighter jets take off at the airport. Those little jets are so loud. Jeffrey and I made the beautiful drive down through the heart of Vermont this morning, and we're in Boston tonight to watch my beloved Indians take on the Red Sox at Fenway. Wait a minute. Those, you don't know, that would be your beloved Guardians. Come on, get with the program. Jeffrey and I will get to see the tallest wall in baseball, and he'll be very happy. All things considered, this has been an amazing trip, and as far as I'm concerned, the Cleveland Indians can change their name to the Guardians, because Jeffrey and I really believe that some Guardians have been watching over us during this trip. This has been Joey's Journal for Friday, the 3rd day of September, with Jeffrey saying, "Welcome back, Robin." Well, thank you, Jeffrey. Thank you so kindly. And so there's a $100 Welcome Back Robin challenge on the table. Thank you. And that makes $400 in challenges on the table, and if they are met, then we will be only $400 from being even going into the weekend, and I cannot tell you how badly that is needed. Because there are oodles of bills waiting to be paid, first of the month, and, well, I'll cross my fingers and we'll see how it goes. And, oh, thank you. Thomas over at FYI Nation says, you sound great this evening once we got FYINation.com fixed. It is back on the air. Thomas has had the devil's own time of late. Thomas has it all running. Yay. And I'm so happy. I loved being down there, but you know what? Running away from a hurricane sucks. And that moment on I-65 north of Birmingham, you know, 5 lanes either side, and they're paving, and so the pavement was a little bit uneven and water standing on the road. I had that moment just scared the daylights out. I was pretty sure I was going to die. That wobbling, big-ass, ancient being held together only by rust molecules and a Bush Cheney sticker from 2000 that roared by me and threw up a sheet of water and completely blinded me for about 5 seconds. Ugh! And the windshield wipers were useless. I mean, it was a wall of water. It happened twice. And you know, you can't exactly anti-lock brakes or no, you can't exactly stomp on the brakes in that kind of water. It was really gross and terrifying. But I made it back. And back where I belong, so to speak. And you know what? I didn't get sunburned while I was down there. I dipped myself liberally in SPF Avogadro's number. And at most, I got a healthy little glow. And, you know, goddess be praised for foundation coverage that's SPF 45. Yay. So, you know, we've got a lot to go into on the front porch conversation. That's about 35 minutes away, or sooner, depending on how things all play out. I've got a list of stuff that I want to take a look at, not the least of which is Joe freaking Manchin. Good God. What an embarrassment. And just so you know, because we... that's true. That's true. Lee in New York says, running away from a hurricane sucks. I can imagine being in a hurricane can be worse. Yeah. It was not too terrible down there where I was, but I would not like to have ridden it out. And I looked into my rearview mirror at one point, and it's like, holy crap, the entire world is behind me on I-65 North. Yeah. But you're right. You're absolutely right. Thank you. Oh, my goodness gracious. Thank you, Charlene in Rogues Island. And thank you, Henry. So we are halfway done with Bruce's Memorial Challenge, and then we will get started on Joey and Giraffe's Welcome Back Robin Challenge. And that's tremendous. Thank you so much, Charlene and Henry. Just thank you. Thank you. By the way, a note coming in from Darlene in Connecticut. She, of course, is a founding member as on the evening that I founded SODA, the Society of Despising Autumn. Screw the 70s, Darlene says. I'm an 80-plus degree weather lover, minus humidity, but if one must be with the other, I'll take the Triple H's any day over this chillier weather Ida ushered in. That bitch. There's a lot to address, such as the Texas anti-woman law and Biden's poor approval ratings in the aftermath of the for-profit media's onslaughts, you know, before Friday on the front porch. Let's get on with it. Yeah, let's do. And let's see. Lee has some advice for Ralphs as she frets and worries about the Rona. Lee says, make sure your sense of taste is working. I recommend Ben and Jerry's. Ooh, yes. And yes, you are remembering correctly, Stephen New York, Ethan Allen, and the Green Mountain Boys. And this New Yorker, Lee says, wants to share something about tall buildings. An antenna does not count in the height of a building. A spire, like a church steeple, does count. Look at the top of the Freedom Tower. You can do it online. Tell me if that building has a spire or antenna that makes that building 1,776 feet tall. Tallest? Sounds like a former guy brag. Lee, not flooded, in New York City. That's so true. That is so true. That's cheating, putting up an antenna. Flooding. Stephen New York says, I have a friend who lives on the ground floor of his apartment building. He lost everything. Oof. I'm so sorry, Steve. Oh, and the guy who tested you for COVID deserves a cowbell. Why are you asking me? Did I pass? Passing is everything. Joey, does he get a cowbell for being the Forrest Gump of severe weather events? Well, yes. I mean, yes. Or, Ralph's notes, Strawberry Haagen-Dazs? Or Strawberry Haagen-Dazs. That works as well, Ralph's. I think, yeah, that will be a more than adequate test of your taste, your sense of taste. And smell, yeah. Mm-hmm. But what Darlene said is so true. Let's get on with it before Friday on the front porch starts. I like the way she put that. Biden's poor approval ratings in the aftermath of the for-profit media's onslaughts. That's what the for-profit media's freaking onslaughts. Because, you know, this was not a bungled evacuation from Afghanistan. This was something that needed, well, A, the war needed never have happened. B, it needed to end, you know, Barack Obama, the Kenyan Muslim usurper, who lived in our White House, said he was going to get us out and didn't. Because he, you know, it got stuck to him. And the generals were do we realize how much courage and how much leadership it took in the face of all those freaking generals? Well, you know, sir, I'd kind of hate for us to get out of Afghanistan. We're having such a darn good time over there, and we're doing a great job. Oh, And Joe Biden held fast and said, screw you, we're leaving. I am the commander-in-chief. I have given you a direct order. Obey it and put it into action. And we're out. I hope we can stay out. And you know, hey, China, it's your turn. No, go ahead, please, please, invade. You won't have any more luck than we did. And who knows, it might actually topple your government. Oh, my God. Yeah, I know. But feel free. Because every and all of these hostile foreign governments have so much support from the multimillionaires of the for-profit media. It just goes on and on and on and on, and it is absolutely undeniably disgusting. I mean, Jesus. It's almost like they feel like they're going to be bored now because they don't have a really good war to cover. Ugh. And all you have to do is turn on the TV, and it's all there. It doesn't matter where they. It almost doesn't matter what network we're dealing with. It's just. And like I said, it was a week ago last Wednesday when. No, it was a week ago last Thursday when I turned on MSNBC and there was Mrs. Greenspan talking to H.R. McMaster and let him get away with calling it the Biden surrender three times. And nothing. And the pushback was almost. Almost non-existent. Huh. But, of course, well, as Darlene noted, the other story, Texas. And I have this creeping sense, because this is the way it always works in right-wing world. If Texas is successful in putting forward their revolting, utterly disgusting, sue your neighbor policy and having it held constitutional, it's, well, in a way, this is a sort of, Fort Sumter for the 21st century. Because now there will be a plethora of states enacting similar legislation. And we have to stop and consider what a Pandora's box this opens. Imagine, bear in mind, the ability for parties to sue each other arises out of common law. If you sit down in first year torts, you will learn first about the torts of trespass and trespass on the case. And damages and the like. And some of those arose as a matter of common law. Assault, battery. Not as criminal statutes, but we're talking about civil law. But a lot of torts are legislatively created. And concepts have come along as time has passed. Things like strict liability in tort, where you don't have to prove intent, because the fundamental rule in torts is that all liability is based upon fault, not intent. And that goes way, 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 way back to merry old England. Well, what Texas's law is saying is that everything we thought about civil suits is out the window. Where the fetus fetishists are concerned. They don't have to prove any damages. They don't have to prove any fault. Basically, it's a rat on your neighbor law. You know, in the years between the end of the Second World War and the fall of the Berlin Wall, when Germany was divided into two countries, East and West, and West Germany moved toward full reconstruction and fully functioning civil society and democracy as we understand it, the Soviet East Germans moved toward a pariah stool pigeon state. And the secret police in East Germany were, of course, the Stasi, and they were notorious, disappeared people in the night kind of thing. But in the aftermath of the fall of the Berlin Wall, we found out that probably half of East Germany was informing on the other half of East Germany. And that kept people in a constant state of stress and fear. And those are really, really handy for keeping a clamp down on a population. Everybody was ratting on everybody else. Well, that's Texas now. And it's the kind of thing that other southern states are just going to live. So this is a disease that will metastasize from Texas into Oklahoma, from Texas into Louisiana, Texas into Arkansas, Texas into Mississippi, Texas into Alabama, all over the Confederacy and some non-Confederate states, border states, like maybe not Kansas. But it will spread like a fast-moving cancer. And I just have to think, that's the other problem with all of this. Under normal circumstances, you would say, public policy demands that this law be stricken as unconstitutional. But we've already seen that the presence of five fetus fetish maniacs are sufficient to keep it going. The Supreme Court completely abdicated its duty. And allowed this law not to be enjoined, pending full adjudication of its constitutionality. And that's terrifying. So what I mean on public policy grounds is that if the legislature can create a cause of it, what if a liberal state, hold on here, the thought experiment, we like those. What if a liberal state, say, California, what if California says, hey, we want to create a cause of action for ordinary citizens to sue other ordinary citizens who own guns as being potential mass murderers? Because, of course, we've established on this program long since that the difference between a lawful gun owner and an awful gun owner is just one little consonant, coupled with the distance that the trigger has to travel in order to engage the firing mechanism and send the bullet hurtling at over 1,000 feet per second, or in the case of a .45, about 800 feet per second, down the rifled barrel and out the muzzle and unleash hell on earth and end the universe for people, the people that the bullet strikes. Why the hell not? What about a private cause of action for people to sue distillers, brewers, vintners, because they might put something into the stream of commerce that winds up, killing a busload of school children? What about that? It could happen. It could happen. And all of the things, there are four things that you learn have to be present in order for a tort suit to work. It can argue to be six, but for our purposes, we'll just use the four. There has to be duty, breach, causation, and damages. Well, the Texas legislature says, you don't need no damages if you just want to rat on your neighbor. So what about duty and breach and causation? A duty is a thing that you should do or not do. And then the breach is doing or not doing it. And then that has to cause the damages that follow.
None of those things are present in the Texas rat law. And, of course, Texas Right to Life set up a snitch page. They set it up at GoDaddy.com. People have been flooding that page with, pictures of goats and porn and stuff like that, especially since it's a Christian site. And now GoDaddy has booted them. A GoDaddy spokesperson told the New York Times, "We have informed ProLifeWhistleblower.com they have 24 hours to move to another provider for violating our terms of service." Good. Because, you see, it's a blatant violation of GoDaddy's own terms of service. And by the way, GoDaddy sucks. They're notoriously awful. But they do have terms of service that say that you cannot harvest private citizens' information. And that's what this website is set up precisely to do. The snitch hotline website is absolutely awash in, among other things, Shrek memes. Right, yeah. And, it's just been deluged. And it's just a horrible idea. And so, actually, in a situation, a statute that is ostensibly about abortion, what we find is that actually, it has the power to entirely wreck the judicial system of the entire United States. Anyone in America, not just Texas, anyone in the United States of America can sue someone under the using the snitch law in Texas. Really. Ellie Mistal, whom I enjoy very much, said, "Thinking outside the box, since there's no penalty at all for making false or frivolous claims under the Texas Bounty Hunting Act, and since people outside of Texas can sue anybody in Texas, we could sue every single Republican in Texas for aiding or abetting abortions. This would likely overwhelm the entire court system." I mean, we're talking about millions of registered Republicans in that state. If we sue them all, there's no way the courts could process all those cases, separating the real claims from the false ones. Again, under the Texas law, there's absolutely no penalty for making a frivolous or wrong claim. You just have to file it. Then the party you accuse has to answer, and the court has to issue a ruling. Again, just thinking of guerrilla law tactics to actually stop these people. At this point in time, it's what we have left. Because these monsters, these thugs, are hell-bent on creating a fascist state in which constitutional sovereignty over the workings of one's own body are a nuisance, are something to be despised. Justice Sonia Sotomayor, she said that the law in Texas is flagrantly unconstitutional. Of course, she and Justice Breyer and even old Balls and Strikes John Roberts joined in, saying it should be enjoined. But, well, here's why Justice Handmaid was put on the court. Here's why Brat Kavanaugh was put on the court. And one wonders if they are killing the goose that lays the golden egg. Because more than anything else, the anti-abortion movement is just a fundraising hustle. It's just a grift. And so it's in effect. Abortion clinics in Texas are shuttered. Abortion is illegal in Texas basically after 6 weeks. And for anybody who doesn't understand, those 6 weeks are not 6 weeks after you fail a pregnancy test or pass, depending on how you look at it. It's actually 6 weeks from the date of their last period. And the only way to preserve a right to reproductive integrity under that circumstance is for a person who has had sex to begin pregnancy testing immediately, or just take Plan B as a matter of course after every sexual encounter, which is really, really hard on the body. I mean, a menstrual period is not necessarily the clockwork that many people are taught to believe it is. I mean, you can be a few days late, a few days early. And by the time, and you know what? By the time you find out or you think you might be pregnant, guess what? It's too late in Texas. And what happens in this bounty hunter law? What happens to somebody who uses RU-286, the abortion pill? Can you and the statute guarantees $10,000, and even if the suing snitch loses, they still don't have to pay attorney's fees, no matter how frivolous the case. I wonder if this will bring Rule 11 into greater usage. I mean, I wonder, because this is going to create an industry. Anytime something like this happens, have they already gone up in Texas? Tell me, are there already billboards along the interstate? Do you know somebody who's gotten an abortion? Call attorney Pettifogger right now, 800-SNITCH. I mean, I first saw this several years ago. You drive around Alabama, and you can't look to the side of the road without seeing a billboard from a lawyer named Alexander Shannara. Dude is everywhere. In the state of Alabama, if you say lawyer, the first thing that's going to come to mind for the vast majority of Talibanians is Alexander Shannara, because he's absolutely ubiquitous. Is this going to happen in Texas? Do you really think that lawyers are not going to try to capitalize on this? They don't even have to worry about it being frivolous. There are no consequences for a frivolous lawsuit. It's mind-boggling. And by the way, women will die. Women will die. Because those good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual Christians, white men and white women exclusively, are perfectly okay with sending women into the so-called back alleys. You know, every member of the Texas legislature who voted for this should be sent thousands and thousands of coat hangers. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention within this context that so there was a picture, and it was a picture of all the Republicans. You know, Greg Abbott signing the bill into law, and there were all kinds of white men and white women surrounding him, just grinning like foxes eating shit out of a wire brush, so happy that they had fucked so many women in Texas that they otherwise never would have gotten to. Yeah. Well, none of those people are ever going to have, and these abortion bans in these benighted, barbaric states are not, they don't have an impact on women of means. Because, see, if you are a Jane Q. white girl, and you get unplannedly pregnant, well, you can just get on a plane, and you can fly out to Beverly Hills, and you can go have you a Beverly Hills abortion out there in civilized California, and maybe do a little shopping, little Rodeo Drive action, you know, little Louis Vuitton, little Gucci, and come home and just feel fine. I mean, there's nothing like a little high-end shopping to take the sting out of abortion. And we won't talk about it. No, I didn't go get no abortion. No, I went shopping on the Rodeo Drive over there in California. Because, I mean, we got needless markup in Dallas, but it just ain't the same. And by the way, does this Texas snitch law apply to an abortion clinic in a civilized state? I mean, you'd have to go through the whole mess of Secretary of State service, and then you'd have to have the defendant answer and submit to Texas jurisdiction. But it's a thing. The ways in which this is a nightmare are scarcely, you can't overstate them. It's revolting. And all those men, well, it's like the old saying goes, if men had to become pregnant, abortion would be a sacrament. Without a doubt. I mean, you can get real shitty real fast and think things like, gee, I hope every white Republican woman of childbearing age in Texas has an unplanned pregnancy that she doesn't want. Anybody who voted for Greg Abbott, anybody who's ever voted for a goddamn Republican. But that's vicious, because that takes it out on the child. And I think about the number of food-insecure children who go to sleep in this country every night. And I think about how Republicans despise the fact, or despise the idea of making sure that they are not food-insecure. And I do. I don't want to use the H word, but I despise them. Them and their small government. Yeah, in Texas, the government's small enough to fit in a woman's fallopian tubes. And that's pretty tiny. Bastards. The late, great Molly Ivins had a column years and years and years ago in which she talked about how the Texas legislature was debating the concept of bastardy, you know, to be so-called illegitimately born outside the bonds of holy matrimony. And she recounted a member of the legislature, a Democrat, who stood up and said, I am not nearly as concerned with the bastards that we are speculating over as I am with the self-made bastards in this room right now. This is more of that cold Civil War stuff that we've been talking about for years and years and years. Yeah, exactly. As Steve in Georgia Stan says, where's Aunt Lydia? Well, our pal Joy in Ann Arbor is presently in Texas, and she said she's keeping a low profile lest she be dragooned as a Lydia. Hang in there, Joy. Thinking of you. And then there's more COVID news to go into. It turns out that Governor Rona death sentence of Florida's numbers are going into the tank. Nearly half of all Florida voters, according to a story in Newsweek, now are fully disapproving of the job that Governor Rona death sentence is doing. His disapproval rating's gone up over the last 2 months while the COVID numbers in Florida have shot through the stratosphere. 48% approve of DeSantis' job performance. 48% disapprove. He's fallen by 6 points. His disapproval rating has increased by 8 percentage points among all voters. Among independents is up by 14 percentage points. He's gone from 38% disapproval to 48% disapproval. That was the start of July, 38%. By the end of August, 51% disapproved. He had a 9% disapproval rating among Republicans, and that's probably maggots who think that he's not maggoty enough. He's up to a 14% disapproval rating at the end of August. He's a killer. He's a, sure enough, no kidding, bioterrorist. Let me check something here. Oh, and we've got another challenge to add to the evening and make things a little. Maybe we can get all the way caught up. Thank you to Scott in Wisconsin. $100 challenge for the grandkids, and another $100 if it's met. So at this point in time, we have, let's see, $150, $250, $350 in challenges, and if that's met, another go. So that would be $800, and we would be within a couple of $100 of being fully funded. Thank you. And as to those vicious Republicans in Texas, Darlene says, I knew a young woman whose menstrual periods went for months with a no-show, and then she'd start flowing. Sorry, guy listeners, but deal with it. Yet, no apology necessary, Darlene. It's humanity. We've only been dealing with it for 3 million years or more. All the protests I saw on Apple News, men were noticeably absent. Yo, this affects you too. Get with the program. Instead of giving verbal support and saying women need to get out there and protest, that women need to take to the streets. Men must stand with us. And that photo you just mentioned, see below, I call it the new Texas Taliban. Yeah. All them white folks. White, 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 white. I mean, there's not even a half decent shade of tan. Hoo-wee. Tornadoes, hurricanes, earthquakes, volcanoes. They deserve everything that's coming to them. Absolutely. They are the Texas Taliban. That's well done, Darlene. Well done indeed. That disgusting photo, yeah. It is. Steve says, I agree with everything you're saying. However, I think the real purpose of this law is to pit poor white people against poor black people. File a suit and hit the lottery and win $10,000. The more you file, the more you win. It's 100% certain that a black person who sues a white person will almost certainly lose 100 times more than a white person who files a suit against a black woman. But, and this is the, where's the money come from? Understand, it's not going to be it, the law does not allow the snitch law. I mean, you can snitch on a woman or a formerly pregnant person, taking gender into account. But it's really designed to be filed against third parties. I don't know. Could you sue the if a pregnant person orders from out of state orders an abortion pill so she can just do it at home? Does the snitch law let you sue the United States Postal Service? Or how about individually suing the mailman who delivered the goddamn pill? See what a mess this is? Billable Rick says, now that Texas has made it illegal for Texas women to have abortions, hardly any woman knows that she's pregnant at the six-week mark, when's the Texas legislature going to pass the Safe and Rare Vasectomy Act? Under that law, men will have a one-week waiting period before they can undergo a vasectomy, during which they'll be required to attend a two-day seminar on the consequences of having that procedure, i.e., you can't get a woman pregnant. If married or in a relationship, the man will be required to obtain the written consent of his partner to have that procedure sworn to by two witnesses. The procedure can only be performed by a licensed physician in a hospital setting. And finally, before a man can have the procedure, he'll be required to have a mental health exam to ensure that he's of sound mind to undergo that procedure. Oh, and any third party in Texas or any other state who discovers that a Texas man has undergone a vasectomy without meeting all of these preconditions has a right to sue the man in a Texas court for $100,000 of deemed liquidated damages. For some reason, I doubt whether the male chauvinist Texas legislature would ever consider passing such a law. Why is this? Because Texas's motivation has nothing to do with protecting women's health, but rather to control women and their bodies. So much for small government, y'all. RU 486. They got an Intel upgrade, Randy Radar says. No dissing that you need help with the numbers, says Lee. Yeah, RU 486. Thank you, Steve and Lee and Randy Radar. Oh, yeah, adding to the list. Oh, by the way, says Darlene in Connecticut, and go fuck yourself, Susan Collins. Sorry, I got lots pent up here. Hide not thy light under a bushel. Darlene, I think we've got a lot pent up. God knows that we've gone a long time without any conversation, and I can imagine y'all are as pent up as I am. Steve noting a constant state of fear and stress and the proliferation of guns into that mix. Yeah, that's going to work out great. And in the wake of Hurricane Ida, Randy Radar tells us, we had seven tornadoes around here. One nearly took out the city of Trenton, New Jersey. It was horrible. Welcome to climate change. The size of that thing. One minute it's just kind of churning along, and the next thing is this huge thing, it seemed like it was the size of the entire Gulf of Mexico. Well, that's the new normal. And this was the thing I heard after the last time I was on the air this past Tuesday. There, where I was in northwest Alabama, of course, you've got the TVA, the Tennessee Valley Authority, and the system of dams along the Tennessee River. The one where I grew up is Wilson Dam, named after Woodrow Wilson, the racist who screened Birth of a Nation in the White House. It was the first, I think, film screening in the White House. It's named for him, and there's a lake there, and there are locks, because of the dam system, the height of the river changes dramatically from behind the dam to in front of the dam, and barges come into the locks, and the water either fills up in the lock or drops down, so the barge then can continue along its way. It's quite the engineering marvel, really. But there was an artificial man-made island that was attached to the lock that was part of the sort of the lane that barges enter to go into the lock. That sucker cut loose in the storm and sank. Meanwhile, as Agnes told me, there was a barge that got loose on 3rd Avenue in Huntington, West Virginia. Third. Wow. Yeah. Sorry, Dave. The giraffe did it again. Oh, the earworms. I'm going to have to spend the weekend in a punnery to contemplate all the earworms that Jeffrey delivered. Welcome back, Robin. Thank you, Dave. Christine is now at the clinic in Chicago, and she's running all kinds of new stuff, especially about getting around when I talk to her and tell her about your surgery date. She's going to be halfway excited. Welcome back. The boys down at the shop set up a chair when they heard you were back. Take care of yourself, and if there are any questions about how Christine's doing, please let me know. There's some potentially good news that I'm sworn to secrecy about until I get clearance from higher headquarters. By the way, that means when Christine clears me to tell it. Your buddy Dave in the blind. Thank you, Dave. We will await your clearance so that you can share it with the rest of the community. Both Flavio and our pal Rico in the absolutely cool and comfortable Berg, I no doubt. Mansion, Flavio says, is comically vain. I bet he's so proud of himself being able to pen idiotic op-eds. Well, let's be fair. He didn't write it. He can't use big words. He's Joe Manchin. Meanwhile, the continuing Fuck Joe Manchin challenge. Rico in the Berg says, glad to hear you're back, m'lady. Thank you, Rico. Hope all's well. Good Lord, I despise that man. Sure, let's put a pause on the $3 trillion human infrastructure bill. For what purpose, you dirtbag? So you can host more parties with Republicans and donors on your houseboat that I wish had been washed to sea? A pox on your house and your fucking houseboat, you goddamn corrupt cracker. Okay, now that I got that out of my system, I'm putting up a $100 challenge, which if it's met, I will put up another $150. Rico, in the rain-soaked but blissfully drying out in the late summer sun of DeBerg. So thank you. Thank you, Rico, that you said it so much more elegantly and eloquently than I ever could. That puts us at, there's $400 in challenges. Please, let's not miss this. Let's get this rolling, and if we meet those, we will be done. We will be fully funded up to the third day of September, and there will be a frenzy of bill paying that takes place in short order. Thank you. Scott in Wisconsin says, I know it will be met. Rock on. Gold Star Gay, Matt in San Francisco says, as a Gold Star Gay, I've never given pregnancy much thought. However, oppression has been a constant friend. That's all this Texas shit is. I'm ready to hit the streets. Fuck these religious freaks. Hear, hear. And look, boycott is a powerful tool. There are lots of corporations in Texas. Hit them where it hurts. The only time Republicans in Texas can hear, the only way they can hear, is through their wallets. Hit it hard. You know, I hate to think about taking it out on companies like Bluebell Ice Cream, but they're out of Texas. Well, I don't have it up here, but it should be roundly and soundly boycotted. What other Texas corporations can you think of that we could add our economic weight to a boycott for? Any ideas? And thank you. Thank you to Samson. Thank you, Samson, so very kindly. That's huge. We now have only $50 to go on Bruce's Memorial Challenge, then the Welcome Back Robin Challenge, then Scott's Challenge, and Rico's Challenge. We can get this done. So, awesome. That is just tremendous. Thank you, Samson. Get thee to a punnery. Oh, dear God, Randy Radar, shame on you. Darlene in Connecticut says, I appreciate what Steve from New York said, but I take issue with him using the word people. This is about women, poor, white, and black women, etc., brown women, women. It is, but if we take gender identities into account, you know, there are female-to-male trans people who can and do get pregnant, and they ain't women. Because if trans women are women, trans men are men. And trans men get pregnant. Okay? I'm really not splitting hairs here. I heard a legal expert a couple of days ago. Oh, it was yesterday. Opining, and she was speaking from a pro-reproductive rights standpoint. And every time, and she was good. She had it down. She said, women and people who can get pregnant. And that's the right way to do it. So I'm not correcting, and I'm not transplaining, but that's the world we live in now. And I don't think it's a bad thing. So I don't know if that was Steve's point, but so the economic burden will fall on people who can get pregnant who are not wealthy enough to fly off for a Rodeo Drive shopping spree, right? Yeah. Steve says, I'm emailing too much. I've made it clear what my personal view about abortion is. However, I've also made it clear that as a man, I have no say in what a woman does and would support a woman no matter what she chose. My view of abortion has made me very reluctant to contribute to Planned Parenthood. Yes, I know, it's just 2% of what they do. Yeah. Steve, they made it possible for me to be me. However, this has taken that hesitance away. My view of abortion notwithstanding, I will not countenance this country making women nearly citizens. Men have the power in this country. There's no doubt about that. It's incumbent upon those of us who are testosterone and penis enhanced to use our power and privilege to fight for our women betters. I largely agree with what you say, Steve, but I don't take issue with abortion at all, ever. Never have. Not my choice. And B, it is not a moral choice. It is not an ethical choice in the least. It is a medical choice. And those kind of choices, you know, between doctor and patient, okay. I guess there are some situations where someone might go to a priest and ask them what they thought about it, or a preacher, or a minister, or a brother, or an imam, or a rabbi, or a shaman, or you know, what have you. I don't know why, but people are, you know, we're funny little primates that way. So let's see how this, I'm not opposed to abortion in any way. If you need a religious aspect, and I'm not directing this to you, Steve, but anyone who needs a religious hook to hang their hat on, Jesus was silent on it. Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and itinerant semi-literate rabbi, had absolutely nothing to say about it. Somewhere in the Torah, there are rules about how much money you have to pay if you happen to kill a fetus, and it is not as high an amount of money as you actually have to pay if you kill a real baby. So, I mean, I think we have to take all of that into account. And meanwhile, I have over-filibustered, and we really should go to the front porch and get the conversation started. And hopefully we will in fairly short order. That was quick. Ralphs has been doing some searching as a function of her position as a member of the Horn Ad Hoc Research Committee. Top 25 Fortune 500 companies headquartered in Texas. Halliburton, Texas Instruments, Waste Management, Fluor, Occidental Petroleum, American Airlines, Stop Flying American Airlines, Tenet Healthcare, Kimberly-Clark, oh my God, Huggies, Kleenex, You by Kotex. Yeah, boycott those bastards. A multi-billion dollar corporation founded on feminine hygiene. And they're in Texas. Hurt them. Hurt their bottom line. Hewlett-Packard. USAA. Oracle. Cisco. Valero Energy. Philips 66. Dell. No more Dell computers for a while. AT&T. What do you think AT&T would do if people started switching away from them? If people started switching away from AT&T because of the Texas law. Global healthcare company McKesson, ExxonMobil, no more Exxon gas in my car. I don't know about you. Doesn't matter what one little thing doesn't matter. Everybody doing it begins to matter, you see. Yeah. So let's go over to let's go over to the front porch and check in with Sparky and see what's going on. Hey, Sparky.
Hey.
Haven't heard from
you. Echo.
It should Skype. Hopefully, it'll pass in short order.
I hope so.
It usually settles down. So, hot and smoky, is it, out there today? Again, some more?
No. It's a little smoky, but it's not. It's only 90 degrees.
Okay, that's not hot. Gotcha. That's only middling miserable.
Yeah. I closed the page. The Dixie Fire's at like 1,300 and something square miles.
Jesus.
It's burned up most of Lassen Park. It's threatening a little town called Milford, way over by south of Susanville. But the one in Tahoe is really done a number on Tahoe, and they shut down. Nobody can go to Tahoe. It's completely evacuated. There is a lot of money being lost.
Let's see here. I'm gonna try not to screw up and forget that I've got somebody on the stress line. I got Randy Radar over there. Hey, Randy.
Hi. Yeah. Oh. The problem with Ben Burchside under your program, it keeps going over to some spoof Amber Alert site when you click on.
Oh dear. Yeah, I saw your message. I didn't fully understand what you were saying there. I will.
You go to the White Rose site and then you click on your program. You may not want to do it because it may infect your machine. I'm not sure what's going on there. So.
Okay. I will let him know, and I appreciate that, Randy.
That's been going on for a week or two now. So.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I'll definitely get on that.
And also, let's see. There was one other thing. Oh yeah, the Intego software, the stuff that protects your Mac with antivirus.
Yeah.
They have an office in Texas, but they are the U.S. office is in Texas, but they're basically a European company. So they're a French-Belgian company.
Okay, so we can add them to the list, and hopefully people better at this than we are doing it.
Yeah. So that's all I had to say. But I.
All right. Well, it's great. It's great to hear from you. And I mean, were you largely unaffected by the flooding?
Pretty much. It clogged some storm drains as the deluge spilled some dirt into the and debris in over the banks into the storm drains. So that's
I saw a photo earlier today of some dude of questionable intelligence. Standing on top of an overpass, a highway overpass, somewhere near Philly, and doing a backflip into the water.
Okay, I wouldn't advise that. The problem was, as the news pointed out, and finally we got a reason for the local news. I was glued to it all Wednesday afternoon. They had the technology to spot the wind shear and point out various tornadoes as they were forming and the tracks and so forth. So they had very few commercials on. And they ran the news of the weather and the tornadoes for about 8 hours straight. Yeah, 6 hours straight. So
that's terrifying.
There was actual, they were dancing all around us. They took out, they really mauled some homes in New Jersey. I think there's some deaths. But most of them were from flooding. People got stranded in their cars, and the cars weren't flooding away. But then they got out, and 6 inches of water will sweep you off your feet, they said. So they get into trouble that way when they left their cars. They got stranded. And the insurance companies are having a terrible time with all the flooded-out cars. People driving through flooded intersections and stuff like that, flooded streets. Ruined their cars. So very expensive for the insurance companies, but I'm sure they can afford it.
Well, yeah, hopefully. Well, listen, Randy, you stay safe, and I hope we will talk soon.
All right, thank you.
And have a great Labor Day weekend, and remember why Labor Day exists.
Yeah, well, you kind of wish it were on May Day, but we know why that didn't happen.
Well, exactly. All right, you take care, Andy.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye now. Somebody, Randy Radar. Speaking
hey, Robin.
Of which, yeah.
There's nothing wrong with White Rose.
Hmm. Does it open? What? Okay, so, but did you click on my show file or the my?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Okay.
I played it on my radio. I've gone to the homepage.
Okay. It may be a Mac thing.
Maybe.
And by the way, happy Labor Day. I always like to say happy Labor Day to union members because, you know, y'all are why we have it.
Yeah. They don't have the picnic that I used to go to anymore.
Well, this probably isn't a good time for picnics anyway, you know, Rona being Rona and everything.
Yeah. They've closed down the old elementary school that I went to this week because of the Rona. And they said it was spreading in the county, but good news is people are out getting the shot.
Wow.
Did you see where it's prevalent in Trump counties?
Oh yeah, it is a direct correlation. It's scientifically trackable. The dude is a vector of the disease.
I guess it's really bad in Idaho right now too.
And Tennessee took the lead in the last few days in growth in cases, according to one story I saw.
I had a cough.
Hey, girl, hey.
Oh, hey, Tracy. Hey, girl, hey.
I just wanted to say hi real quick before the kids get in my cab, because once they're in the cab,
yeah, it's game over.
I can't talk.
I understand.
So, and all that good stuff. But how are you doing? Welcome home.
Thank you. I'm still getting over the breathlessness of the news I got yesterday.
Did you announce it?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, I am so happy for you. I just, as a matter of fact, today I had the one class I have on campus, and it's going to be about, we have to, as Africana Studies majors, we have to go to, have to do like 40 hours of volunteer work over the course of the semester at different places throughout the valley in LA. Well, we had to introduce ourselves to each other, and one of my fellow colleagues is a transgender female.
Oh.
And she, you know, she's amazing, and finally I'm not the oldest person in my class. She kind of told her story about, you know, growing up, you know, always knowing what she was but never really understanding and all that. And I said, well, I have a very dear, dear friend who just got her appointment for her surgery. And she's like, good for her. And I'm like, yeah, she, you know, so you got kudos, baby. So, yeah. So I just wanted to say, hey, and all that good stuff.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Tracy. And, you know, of course, the standard caveat applies. Stay safe out there. There's crazy people on those roads.
Yeah. Now, today is going to be exceptionally stupid, not only because it's a Friday, but it's a Friday before
a holiday
weekend. So I will not be working after I drop the kids. I will be going, you know, trying to get home because I passed the 405 this afternoon after I left CSUN. 405 North was already a clusterfuck. So it's going to be even worse when I start home. So, yeah. So, but I'm going to be, you know, remain vigilant and pay attention to the, you know, the assholes out there who think that, you know, the freeways or speedway, that part.
Wow.
So, you know, and I actually get a, oh, and I get a 4-day weekend because Tuesday is Rosh Hashanah. So the school is closed on Tuesday. I still have class at CSUN, but at least I don't have to go to work on Tuesday. So that's going to be nice.
And did you go by a certain donut place today? Just asking. Not shaming, just asking.
Yeah, I did.
Pink with sprinkles?
Yes.
Of course.
It's a sickness. I can't. I don't have the power to walk away.
I understand you are powerless over Randy's Donuts and your life has become unmanageable.
I am powerless over Randy's fucking donuts. I used to be able
to. Cupcakes.
Well, that too, but it was really because the problem with Randy's is that it's drive through. So I don't even have to get out my car, Sparky. And, you know, I used to, you know, I would be fine because, you know, I would go to Randy's Donuts every so often and just get a glazed donut, especially a lot of times they would be fresh out the fryer. So it was
yes.
But then I could still drive by. I was like, no, it's no big deal. But then I tried the Ray's Donut with pink frosting and sprinkles. And I'm an addict. I know it's sprinkled with crack dust. I know this. And so, yeah, so now there's one more thing to add to the things that Tracy needs to stop eating, but right now it makes me happy, so fuck.
You gotta have your comforts. You just do.
Yep.
Especially in this time.
Oh, one more thing before I go. So to teach this semester, the class that I'm taking this afternoon, I took this afternoon, rather, was the first time I've taken this class with this particular professor, Dr. Hackett, or Dr. Said. And so I've never had him, but he watched when I did the presentation at the African-American Studies conference. And he said to me, my presentation was a master's thesis.
Wow.
I said, say what? I just, you know, I'm like, seriously? He's like, yes. Yes. That was the master's thesis. And coming from somebody that has their PhD in Africana studies, that meant a lot to me. So, yay. So,
that's wonderful. And yeah, and one last thing before you go, shall we share the happy news of the class that I talked you into taking?
Yes. I am taking Latin because Robin, first of all, she promised me that she would tutor me because if she doesn't, I'm dropping the class. But no, she convinced, because I graduated in May, but I needed a filler class to be considered a full-time student. So Robin convinced me to take Latin 1 because I have issues with, you know, wanting to improve my vocabulary and my grammar, and she suggested that I take Latin, and actually, I think I'm going to enjoy it.
I think so, you will, too.
The good news is I don't have to memorize anything. I don't have to memorize the conjugations and all that sort of stuff. It's all about, the only thing he wants is just to be able to read it and write it. So, in other words, think it. So that's it. So yeah.
I can't wait. I think we're going to enjoy the hell out of this, both of us.
Oh, and one more thing. Did I mention that I made the dean's list yet? Because we have no. I made the dean's list. I have a.
Oh, wait a minute.
I actually got the. I didn't realize it, but I got the letter about a week or so ago from the dean of. This College of Social and Behavioral Sciences, that I made the dean's list. So when I graduate, I might actually be at the honors convocation.
Wow.
so that part. So anyway, okay, I'm going to go. You guys have a safe and, like you said, remember why we have Labor Day. You know, go Union. And, oh, Robin, are you going to do a Monday on the front Labor Day front porch or no?
I'm definitely going to be here Labor Day if we want to do a front porch. I think that would be cool.
Okay, well, I will be waiting to find out. So, I love you guys. Talk to you later and have a good rest of the day. Great, have a great show, Robin.
Thank you, Tracy. Thank you, dear. And,
all right, baby. Bye-bye.
Drive safe. Bye now.
I will. Bye.
No, I really, I'm just tickled pink that that Tracy's taking Latin, because it just does so much. It does so much for your vocabulary and your writing skills. Is this one of those awkward silences?
I had 2 years of Latin.
I'm sorry?
I had 2 years of Latin in high school. Really helped English and French.
Oh, French is a walk in the park after Latin. And I suspect, although I've never studied it, Flavio could probably tell us it's the same way with Italian, Portuguese, Spanish. Basically, the so-called Romance languages, Italian, French, Portuguese, Spanish, and, of all things, Romanian. Because Romanian is derived from Latin because of the conquest of Dalmatia. You know,
and also English, in the sense that English is basically a blend of two languages, and that is the Latin after they invaded up into England, and then the Germanic. So we have the Anglo-Saxon is a two separate bases. I mean, if you really start thinking about English, you realize that there's one that would be considered the vulgar and then one that's the educated language. So we have two languages blended into one.
Exactly. And also there's a third route of transmission, and that is through Norman French, because, of course, it's Latin-derived. And 70% of the words, and most people don't know this, 70% of the words that come out of our mouths and that we write, 70% of the words are Latin-derived.
Anyhow, getting back to that abortion discussion.
Yes, do let's.
A little bit of personal history here. Along about 1970, sometime in that time frame, had a girlfriend who one day came to me and said, "Roger, my period's late." So I quickly got on the horn and all the rest of that and had it set up for her to meet up with a very good family friend of ours by the name of Garrett Hardin. And people who have studied population biology probably know the name Garrett Hardin. And he was a stop on the what I would call the Underground Railroad for women in California to have a little Mexican vacation for about a week. And I had the whole thing set up and had talked to him and finally talked to her, and I said, "Okay, I've got it set up. If you want an abortion, you can da-da-da-da-da." And she hits me back with, "Oh, didn't I tell you? My period started the day after I told you it was late." I, you know, she was a cute little thing, but by God, I really did want to strangle her.
Now, quit that.
Back in those days, long-distance phone calls weren't cheap. So, but anyhow. And the second one is in along about 1960, summer of 63, I was taking care of my grandfather down in San Francisco, living at my aunt's house while she was off to Russia with mom and dad. Anyhow, a couple of high school friends, well, elementary through high school friends, females, were staying with me in my aunt's house in San Francisco for a while. And I came home one afternoon from my grandfather's house, and a third young lady was in the house and in bed in a darkened room and all the rest of it. And I went to one of the girls that were I was closer with. I said, "What the hell is she doing here? I mean, Yeah, it was okay for you to stay here, but why is she here? Well, she's recovering from an abortion she just had today. And she stayed at the house for 2 or 3 days. And she is a staunch Roman Catholic and very anti-abortion today. And I've never brought up to her, how the hell could you be so anti? Because I would love to hear her excuse, whether she regrets that she had one or whether she's just following along the religion because her husband is also a very staunch Roman Catholic. So that would be an interesting conversation to have, but I will never have. And my third abortion story is when I was in college, and this is along about 1978, had a girlfriend, and she went home for Christmas, and there was a divorced family, tremendous animosity. Her mother and father got into a fight, and she ran off to an old boyfriend and spent the night. And because I'd had my vasectomy several years before, she wasn't on any birth control. And along about February, I called up and said, hey, you know, I'll go somewhere, you know. And she just, it just rubbed me wrong. So I went over to her apartment, kind of barged my way in, even though her girlfriends at the apartment really didn't want to let me. And she was lying in bed because that one night stand she did with an old boyfriend, she'd gotten pregnant and had an abortion. And I told her, hey, we didn't have a monogamy, you know, we weren't engaged to get married, blah, 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 you know, kind of number. But I wasn't going to throw her out just because she fucked up and needed some arms to hug one night when she was gone for a couple of weeks. But she very shortly thereafter decided our relationship could not survive the trauma of her getting pregnant and having an abortion. And several years later, when I was still vending at Farmer's Market, she was up visiting because her mother had ended up moving up to Humboldt County. And she stopped by at the farmer's market, ever so friendly, ever so nice, introduced me to her daughter, introduced me to her husband. And it was just so nice to see me, da, 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 da. But those are my abortion stories. And so it's affected me. But I would never, ever try to take it away from a woman to have control over her body. I just cannot understand what gives men the idea that they can do this. But I have come to a conclusion on why so many men, particularly the right-wing Republican assholes, are so opposed to abortion. And that is, hey, young lady, whatever, you were giving it away to somebody and you weren't giving it away to me. So by God, because you weren't giving it away to me, you're going to pay for it.
I agree. But Roger, I think there's something else, and it's darker and much more nefarious. Throughout human history, the rape power of men has been one of the most vicious and strongest tools at their disposal. And for a woman to be able to terminate a pregnancy based only upon her own will is to negate that. The power to force a pregnancy upon a woman is a tremendous patriarchal tool. And for that reason, I think it's a threat. You know, patriarchal fragility is a thing. It's real, and yields horrible consequences. And that's what you're seeing. That's what you're seeing in these abortion bills. These anti-abortion bills are essentially confessions by right-wing Republicans that they are scared to death of women exercising their own agency and executive authority. Does that make sense?
Yeah, makes total sense.
Okay, that because I can't.
Well, you could even go back to the
and they hide it behind religion, of course.
Yeah, but you can go back to the Lord of the Manor days in medieval England, with the Lord of the area having rights of first knight.
La droit de seigneur.
Yeah, I mean, you might have gotten married today, but I get to fuck your wife before you do.
That's just so gross. But it's so true. That's one of the reasons that I was talking with a dear friend in the last week about those two paintings, and I've mentioned them on air before, Roger, those two paintings in the rotunda of the United States Capitol. One of them is De Soto Discovers the Mississippi River. De Soto was, of course, dead by then, but the depiction of De Soto being this tall, strong, manly man in armor on this, you know, huge horse, and there's this cowering indigenous person beneath. It's like, ah, fuck, you know, just the symbology is horrible. But the other one that really gets all over me is the marriage of Pocahontas. Because we know the personalities who are involved with that, and if you look at the marriage of Pocahontas, there's a guy in that portrait standing there with his hand on the hilt of his sword. That's the guy who probably raped her. No, it's not the marriage of Pocahontas, it's the baptism of Pocahontas. Pocahontas's rapist is actually in the portrait, and it turns my stomach every time I see it. By the way, a separate topic entirely. Dave number 11 just reminded me. I'd seen this a little earlier, and I'm glad for the reminder. The QAnon shaman, or as I like to think of him, that refugee from a Ted Nugent cosplay convention, Jacob Chansley, also known as Jake and Jelly, was charged with 6 federal crimes. And he entered a guilty plea today. This is not inspiring. He got to plead out on one stinking federal felony: obstruction of an official proceeding. Once again, a guy tries to overturn, and along with thousands more in a mob. And he's going to walk away with a single felony and probably won't do a single goddamn actual sentence day in prison. They'll just give him credit for time served and credit for the organic meals that he demanded he be fed. And once again, proof positive, you know, they're going to do it again. I mean, is there any reason to think they're not going to?
Hey, Robin.
Hey, Steve.
What's the date? Hey. September. They got a date coming up.
I mean, nothing happens to them. Why the hell? I mean, this is like Pavlov's dog. If Pavlov's dog does what he wants to do and doesn't get shocked, why would he not keep doing it?
I know. And,
I mean, by the way, I was away for a second. And I apologize if I repeat myself. Did you see? I put a challenge out. Did you see that?
Did I miss one?
Yeah, I did a $22.50 challenge based upon the Buckeyes scoring 45 points last night.
Oh wow!
You didn't see that?
No, I didn't.
I think you're just ignoring me because I'm not being enough of a sycophant to you. I think that's probably why.
Well, I mean, you know, you have been slacking.
Yeah, I know. And did you get the email that I sent you about my commentary on the shit in Texas?
Yeah, in the recent past, yes.
Like, Carol Baker and I had an exchange over that. And basically, Carol was like, I get where you're coming from, and I can respect where you're coming from. And then she added some stuff to it. And I'll be honest with you, and you and I have talked about this. I have a personal issue with abortion, but I'll be damned if I'm going to tell a woman what to do. And I'll be damned if I'm going to stand in her way of making that decision and being judgmental. Just won't. Because, like I've said a million times with anybody, I'll never be pregnant. I'll never know what it's like. So I'm not going to...
And so when it comes time to get in the streets,
because I see the big, I don't think this is only about abortion. This is about, I had in one of my very few lucid moments, in the back of my mind, I kept thinking, wait a second. This is a lottery for poor folks who are going to turn on each other. And as seems to be so often, so typically often, is who bears the brunt of any shittiness that we have? It's always black folks. It's always poor black folks. And it's always poor black women. And I can't – and again, maybe I'm all wet here. I just can't help but think that's, you know, of all of the people who are going to suffer and with this $10,000 BS.
But where's the $10,000 coming from?
Yeah.
Is Texas going to pay the damages? Is there going to be an abortion snitch slush fund? The way they set up the lottery funds, I'm not being facetious. I don't know the answer.
I'm not being facetious because that nothing I've seen has indicated. You know what? I mean, what I really hope isn't the case is that it's a judgment of $10,000 against the quote unquote defendant here.
Well, understand who the defendant can and cannot be. The defendant cannot be the woman who is pursuing reproductive health services. They're accepted. So it's got to be some third party. It's got to be the mailman. They're trying to create, but see, I understand what passes for thinking in these monsters' heads. They're trying to figure out a way to, because once upon a time, there was that god-awful outfit called Operation Rescue.
Randall Terry.
Yeah, with Randall Terry, human turd. And
why are you insulting turds that way? Jesus.
Not true. Sorry. They serve a purpose. But he got Operation Rescue got sued out of existence. And the good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, and homosexual Christians finally twigged on the, hey, maybe we could do that too. And we can just, come on, let's be real. We talk about things like, oh, Southwest Airlines. If Southwest Airlines flies a woman to a sane state where she can get an abortion, does that create a right in a Texan to sue Southwest Airlines?
Yeah.
But the reality is, this is about suing Planned Parenthood. This is about thousands of lawsuits against Planned Parenthood and crushing them with legal bills, if nothing else.
I was just going to say, what you just answered your own question, and maybe you realize it, but maybe you didn't. This is not about $10,000. This is about causing abortion providers and people who offer health services to women to have to bankrupt themselves out of existence. That's what this is about.
Yeah. It is exactly the conduct that things like Rule 11 of the Rules of Civil Procedure are designed to prevent. I mean, I frankly hope that creative people will take this law as long as it remains on the books and make life miserable for Republicans. Start suing Republicans. Sue Republican members of the legislature. Because there are no consequences for this. There are absolutely no consequences, so just sue a Republican and accuse him of facilitating an abortion. Maybe sue him 5 or 10,000 times.
Hell, why don't we sue fucking Donald goddamn Trump?
Ta-da! You know, is this law and it's
how about Matt Gaetz?
Is it prospective only, or can it be? Can we have a look back? For instance, could somebody? I mean, if you had somebody in Texas that's like, say, Scott Desjardins is in Tennessee. This dude paid for his mistress's abortions, and of course, he's a good God-fearing, upstanding, etc. Well, let's go back and sue him. Get that $10,000.
Got $10,000. Got to win my lottery ticket.
Shit, you get a lot better prize if you just sign up for the damn vaccine in West Virginia and do it for Baby Dog.
I think it has to be prospective. Hi, guys. How you doing?
Hey, Billable. How are you?
Hey, Rick.
How you doing? That would be. It would have to be prospective. I think abortions that occur after the prohibition takes effect, after this legal prohibition takes effect, that's my you know, 2 cents in it anyway.
And what qualifies as an abortion is a spontaneous, you know, the actual medical term for the horrible term miscarriage, which is just needs to go away. That means the woman did something wrong and she didn't. But the actual medical term for that is spontaneous abortion. If a woman early in a pregnancy has too much to drink and spontaneously aborts, are we gonna sue the company that makes, I don't know, Deep Eddy vodka, or Tito's down in Austin, or the bartender under the Dram Shop Act? I don't know what.
I was just gonna say the Dram Shop Act.
Yeah, right. Right. It doesn't have to say, it just says abortion, which, yeah, can mean spontaneous as well.
You know what I think?
You know?
There's a couple things. And if I'm talking too much, please interrupt me and tell me to shut up so other people can speak.
Well, other people will jump in.
Okay, good. Two things. This is a way to not overturn Roe, so they can get the result that they want, but then they can go and continue to scream at the rubes to send them money in order to overturn Roe, in order to slay the little fetuses. I think, look, the other thing too is we need to fucking, those of us who are sane people who are left and left of center, We need to wake up. We are getting – they are running circles around us. Hello?
Well, that's how the early battles of the other Civil War went too.
Well, I think we have to pass we have to pass the safe and rare vasectomy law in each and every state capital in this country, you know, and then let's,
yeah,
you know,
while we're at it, let's pass the safe and rare prostate resection act.
But there you go.
Yeah, but and to make sure that every man has to watch a video about what will happen to their semen and sperm if they have a vasectomy.
They're melting.
There you go.
And by the way, I need to bring Dave and the Blind on. He's over on the stress line. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Robin. I've got a way to approach these guys.
Okay.
Since they don't want to pay for low-income people to have food, shelter, and medical care, you could sue every Republican in Texas for forcing people into even considering abortions. Because if they can't house, feed, and clothe their kid, you know, they're in a dire strait. So you turn around and you sue
precisely,
the Republicans who don't want to pay.
Precisely what I was talking about. Yeah.
Anything. And you I've got a friend, I think I've said, told this story before on here, who had an abortion many years ago. And some terrorists on the right wing were protesting in downtown Indianapolis, and I had to walk her through a crowd of those people. So do we sue these organizations for the infliction of mental cruelty? Hello?
Well, I'm not, I don't.
Oh.
It's certainly worth considering. I just got a note from David in South Carolina, Stan, Dave. Breaking, Lyft and Uber have announced that they will cover 100% of the legal fees of drivers who are sued for aiding and abetting under Texas's abortion law. Lyft also says they will donate $1 million to Planned Parenthood. This may turn out to be and of course, they'll donate $1 million to Planned Parenthood, and then people will sue Planned Parenthood to get some of the $1 million. This is all economics. By the way, thank you, Gary. Gary jumped in, and we now have only $322.50 to go to finish fundraising and have a sure enough, no kidding, Friday on the Front Porch, community-made miracle.
And $300 is a small price to pay for the entertainment and the information that you get right here.
Good evening. Good evening.
That's a sale.
Good evening, John Brittolo. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Robin. How are you?
Hey, Robin. You know what Lyft and Uber could do?
Yeah.
Put it in a trust and have them only draw on the trust whenever they need the money.
And that way, it's not accessible.
That way, it's not accessible.
Hey, John Brittolo, I'm better than usual. You did hear about my fantastic news, didn't you?
No, I have not. No, I just got done doing my show. I had to do my Beer and Bud Friday live because it came in late. Didn't have time to do all the, jump through all the hoops of recording and distributing. So we just did it live, and I got off there and then came right on here. So, pray tell, what news have you got?
Your girl has a surgery date.
All right. Outstanding. When?
November 9th.
That's soon.
Yeah, that's soon.
Baby. Outstanding news.
One week.
I'm so happy for you.
2 months and 1 week.
Wow. Not that you're going to be counting any days.
No.
Yeah, nothing like that. But that is outstanding news. I'm surprised. It used to take a lot longer than that. A lot of requirements. Well, in my state, anyway.
Well, but, that's the thing. I was looking at a lot longer. And yes. So I kind of doubled down and did a forced transition march.
Aren't you glad you did?
Mm-hmm.
Outstanding, baby.
And so,
I'm so happy for you.
I was talking to my surgeon on Wednesday down in Birmingham, and he said, so what kind of timeline do you think you're looking at? And I said, well, it's like Lady Macbeth said, if 'twere done, 'twere best done quickly. And I said,
are you open tomorrow?
Right. What are you doing tomorrow, Doc? But I said, I would like to get it done. I've got insurance, and I would like to get it done within this deductible year.
Outstanding.
And he said, that makes really good sense.
What a good doctor.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think, he's great. I think he's about maybe like 19.
Ah, good. Dougie Hauser, huh?
Yeah, he is. But he's really,
He's talented.
It was cute. He came in, offered me the fist to bump at the same time I was offering the elbow. So he dropped the fist and offered the elbow, and I offered the fist.
Ah, there you go. It's a secret.
And then I looked and said, 1, 2, 3, fist. And we fist bumped.
Yeah. Well, that is great news.
But Robin, we went over all of it. It's scary.
I would imagine.
I've never had anything more complicated than a tonsillectomy.
It's a little bit more detailed.
I would say, yes.
Yeah.
It's going to be time-consuming. I'm going to be away from the microphone, and that makes me very, very afraid for the future of this program. But
this Horn family will stand by waiting for your voice to return, Robin.
I hope so, John. I do.
They are loyal. This is a loyal family. We have been getting so many visitors from the Horn family over on the Blue Dot Show. and it's it, I just love it. I just love it. And I promote your show over there. Go over here and get on Robin's show. It's the same way. You can just
pop right in. I
can't
thank you enough. That's so kind of you, John.
Well, I believe in your show. I believe in the message, and I'm impressed, and I always have been, with your ability to of information and knowledge that you have stored in that head, and I don't know how the hell you do that. You got one of them microchips? I just wonder. Anyway.
No, it's my Bill Gates patented liquid barcodes, John.
Is it?
Yeah.
I still got the Rolodex, buddy.
Yeah, I stick to the refrigerator now and then, but you get used to it after a while.
I need to upgrade. Anyway, yes, we and $300 is a small price, really. I know there's members of the Horn family that can donate and always do, and we thank you so much for that, because Robin's voice is that important, especially coming up, baby. You see what's happening down here in Texas.
Shit, I want you to unlimber yourself of what it feels like to be a Texan right now, a liberal, progressive, right, blue Texan.
Because they passed a freaking law, but there's no penalty for the law. In other words, we won't enforce the law. You can go down and get your abortion at 7 weeks. Who cares? 8 weeks. Ain't no law going to show up and arrest your ass, because the law is not enforced by state officials. There's the key words in this bill. In this bill that they pass, they make it illegal to have an abortion after 6 weeks. But there is nobody you can call. There is no state attorney. There's no sheriff. There is no state official, because that official would then be up for the possibility of a lawsuit for violating somebody's civil rights under the Constitution and under Roe v. Wade, which viability is at 24 weeks under Roe v. Wade. So that opens up a possibility. So how do you prevent that? Well, Texas, you know, we're sovereign immunity down here like everybody else. You know, you can't sue us because we're doing our job. Well, they passed this law, but there is no enforcement of the law. What they did was, as you've been hearing in the news, deputize every citizen that if you find out that somebody is involved, and indeed the Uber driver, the Lyft driver, whatever, anybody, hey, Betty, maybe you ought to go down to the clinic. Oh, you can get sued. But they empowered these people to go sue. So that is the enforcement that Texas wrote into this law. It's a backstabbing little sneaky way to avoid the liability that they would face if they tried to implement and uphold a law like this. So that's why the court didn't take it, the Supreme Court. And it 5-4, because, hey, there's no enforcement here. The state's not saying they're going to arrest you. They're just saying it's against the law.
But that was sufficient, John, to close the doors of every abortion provider in Texas.
Yes. Yes, because they're going to get sued. Can you imagine what they're doing right now, especially this new website they just came out with, the prolifewhistleblower.com shit?
Yeah, that shit's already got shut down.
Oh, has it?
Yeah.
Well, let's wait for it to open up and shut the next one down.
I mean, people absolutely flooded it with Shrek memes and stupid internet shit. And now GoDaddy has told them that they will not host them because they're illegally harvesting private information.
Hey, Robin.
Yeah.
How long do you think Anne Frank would have lasted with people like these?
The Nazis were less efficient.
Yeah. That's what they're trying to do. Isn't that what they've always proclaimed, that Russia and China, communist China, they got their citizens, they spy on North Korea, the citizens spy on each other, and they turn them into the government? Well, that's what they're asking these assholes to do. Become a spy for the government. While they scream,
that's what East Germany was.
Yeah.
Did they get bounties? Did they get bounties for citizens to turn like Jews over?
They have the right to. Yes, they have a right to sue, and they could receive up to a $10,000 judgment.
No, I'm talking back in the Nazi days.
Yeah.
Did they give out bounties to citizens who turned in Jews? I don't know. I'm not sure about that.
I don't know, but they are now.
For monetization. You know.
Let's remember, we have our own history of that. When we first invaded Afghanistan, we put bounties on people, and so you had one goat herder turning in another goat herder and accusing him of being Al Qaeda so that he could get his goats and $500 cash money for Uncle Sugar.
What a
deal. Right.
Don't forget to turn Don't forget the card game in Iraq. We had a 52-card deck for people we want to kill.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Hey, Jeremy, how are you?
Good, you?
I'm pretty happy to be home. I wish I hadn't been chased off by a freaking hurricane.
I'm glad you made it back from the two disasters, COVID and a hurricane.
Oh, when I saw my hometown a week ago last Tuesday, when I drove in, it's like, ah, oh, well, you know, back in the land of my birth. And then, because there are these things that pop up in neighborhoods, and the term for them I learned is shot houses. Never heard of such a thing. They're impromptu parties where people come and buy shots of liquor and probably anything else you want. And in the neighborhood where I grew up, there was one going on the corner. And I mean, there was 100, had to be at least 100, maybe 200 people in the yard, butthole to belly button, LARPing, smolikin, grabulating, all of that. And I could see the angel of death just fluttering in the crowd, sprinkling the place with the COVID particles. It was revolting. And I need to send out some thank yous as we work on this community made miracle. Thank you to Christopher, and thank you to our dear sister Jude, and thank you to Elizabeth. That means we are. Let's see.
Come on.
Okay, so we are done with. Let's say we're done with Steve's challenge, because we knocked out that 2250, and now we are working on Joey's challenge, and there's $80 to go on that, and then we go to work on Scott in Wisconsin's challenge and the continuing Fuck You Joe Manchin challenge, courtesy of Rico in the soggy but drying out Berg. So thank you, each of you, for making those challenges. This is fantastic, and if we can keep this going, the less stress, the better.
It's Friday. Miracles happen on Friday.
Miracles happen really here on Friday. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I mean, John Brittabo, do outfits like Dell Computer understand how bad this is for them?
I'm promoting a boycott of my state. Are you shitting me? I don't think anybody should have anything to do. Don't bring your big poobah party down here to Texas for any events down here. Find you another state. There's lots of them. There's lots of blue states you could pick. You don't have to come to a state like this. That's what I recommend. And I live
pregnant
here.
Down in Texas. Be careful there. You know? Yeah. Then you're really screwed.
Oh, I got more problems than, yeah. We got lots of problems down here in Texas. Have you seen my Facebook, my YouTube videos here lately, Robin, by any chance?
I saw a couple.
Did you see a couple?
Looks like a bit of a, well, it's like Randy Radar just said, I haven't yet listened to Blue Dot's last Sunday program. Did he out the redneck neighbor?
Well, if you go to a Blue Dot in Texas.com, if you go to YouTube to a Blue Dot in Texas.com, shit, get the .com. Well, you can go to Blue Dot in Texas.com too. But if you go to my YouTube channel, you back up about a week, we released two videos. Has his name, his picture. Has video recordings of the event. One is entitled Dakota Chisholm, Animal Abuser, and the other was entitled Dakota Chisholm, Racist. Well, we have more videos. We're just waiting to see what their next move is. And so far, for a week, it's been extremely quiet. But those two videos are taking off pretty good. Getting a lot of views. What surprised me really is the one with the animal abuse is getting more views, about twice as many views as the racist video. And it's a racist video. I mean, we got a video of him blaring music from his house, and the title of the song he is blaring is I'm an N-word hating man. You can fill that in.
Jesus.
You know what I mean?
That's a weird thing about human beings. You know, I used to say that if we could put a dead dolphin or a dead whale on top of a mountaintop removal site, more people would care about mountaintop removal.
More people would care. Yes.
Hey, you know what I'm thinking?
Even racists love animals. Yeah.
You know what I'm thinking?
What's that?
Is his address? Can I get? Is his address on there?
His address is not on there.
Okay. Well, if I could find that out, I would be very glad to get him a nice complimentary subscription to to Manhunt or any Playgirl or any one of these things. Just because I'm a giver.
Bless your heart. Bless your heart. You've got a great heart for gifting. We appreciate that. I'm trying to tread that water. In one of my videos at the end, Travis really just threw me for a loop because I think it was a Thursday night live Blue Dot meeting, and I was wrapping up. We'd already gone about 2 hours overtime. Not overtime, but about 2 hours total. Anyway, I was signing off, already said goodbye to everybody. Thank you very much for coming in and visiting. And all of a sudden, Travis goes, wait a minute. And all of a sudden, he takes the microphone and cuts my camera off and switches to him. Boy, howdy shit. He cut loose with the videos, stopping and zooming in. Here he is, tormenting our donkey. Here he is being a racist. Here he is exploding fireworks in front of our, nailed him badly. And including it's a video, but really it's the audio part of it, of Dakota Chisholm. Because before we released the racist video, we had already told somebody in his family that, hey, he's down here playing this song. You want to hear it? Nope. Listen to this. Oh, that's what he's playing down there. Well, that night his daddy came down and beat his ass. And
really?
We have the sound recording of him screaming, no, daddy, no, 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 I'm sorry, daddy. Oh, God, Jesus, what did I do? I'm sorry, daddy. And it's just so we play that, too. As a matter of fact, I'm going to have a button on my show. For when somebody whines when they did something.
Of him hollering, don't beat me?
Yeah, yeah. So we put that in there just for fun. As a matter of fact, that's Travis's favorite part. We've made him public.
I'm seeing No Daddy in a whole different light that we really need to shine on this guy.
His daddy lives right down the street. You can find his house by the rebel flag that sits out front.
I would also love to do is, because, again, I'm such a giver, maybe I should send him, like, a blow-up sex doll.
Well, people can find my address easy. I'm sure they can find his address if they so desired. We didn't put it on there because I'm treading a light line. I don't want to give him any opportunity to get a lawyer and try to sue me for anything.
Right. But, John, I'm such a – I try to really be a good person, and I try to just – be a giver.
Where giving needs to be given.
Give where giving, just where it needs to be given.
Yeah.
So I'm just, not trying to harass. I'm just trying to help somebody out.
Well, maybe a subscription. Maybe a subscription to the Oprah magazine. I don't know.
This has been a year, 1 year of
or
putting
Cosmo.
This guy terrorizing our house, terrorizing my donkey. Driving by here, getting profanity laced tirades, driving off. We've reached out to his family and asked them to stop because his family, his grandfather, his father, and him live on this street. It's a family affair. Anyway, I'm willing to live a peaceful life out here. But if you're not willing to do that, and I said this on my last show, my last live show, I have other stories. And this kid's daddy knows what stories I have. He does not want me to tell those stories at all. But I will. So, balls in his court. You do one more damn thing. One thing. And that's it. I go balls to the wall with every story I have. And it's not a nice story. There's bad things, bad things in this story.
But, John, you're just trying to tell his story. You're trying to tell his story.
Well, that's what I told him. My only weapon is I have a story I know to be true.
Truth shall set you free.
And the truth shall set you free, baby.
And, I just had a note from our dear sister Jude, and she noted, and they included in this horrendously blatant Texas law that incest and rape victims get no mercy either. And that speaks to something that I said a little bit earlier, namely that you know, that rape is a tool, a strong tool in the patriarchy toolbox.
Keep the men in charge, buddy.
Hey, Robin.
Yeah, Jeremy.
Can we get a cowbell for Steve and his willingness to give tonight?
Yes,
being
yes.
So giving and so considerate of the truth and everything else out there.
Absolutely, I think so. well played, Jeremy. And, you know, Jude said something a little earlier in regard to all of this. She said, I'm so comforted having you back along with the community, even when the subject matter is of Texas and what will happen to the women. It hits deep in this woman. Jude says, I used to be a volunteer for Planned Parenthood, and each time I'd need to enter or leave the parking lot, it was a complete focus on just getting past the rabid ones, all shouting, holding their signs over my windshield, even coming up to my driver's window, taking my picture. What Texas has done is profoundly dangerous on such a vast scale, and I can't help noting how my breathing process is sensing my duress. Right, and she's right, because, yes, you know, this is Texas, but this is going to be, as I said at the beginning of the program, this is going to metastasize all over the Stan states.
Indeed. And that's why on my show today, I urged people across this country, doesn't matter which state you're in, stand up. I believe somebody said there's a protest plan for October 2nd. I don't know. Check that out if there is. It needs to be in mass, and not only women. These are men that should stand up also. This is bullshit, and we all know it's bullshit. And always remember, they passed this law with no law enforcement. They didn't do it to proclaim it a law. They did it to proclaim it a punishment. That's what this is designed to do, punish people, to make them pay monetarily and emotionally for anything they do and anybody involved in it. So this is not a law that involves something that the police will get involved in. No.
Oh, and by the way, did you all see that Texas also passed the law that you have to play?
Indeed, brother.
The national
you will anthem. Be patriotic in my state, or you just won't get no.
Well, money. No, you probably didn't know this, John. They actually changed the song. It's no longer the Star Spangled Banner. It's Texland Uber Alles.
Yeah, is that what
yeah.
it is?
Yeah.
It's right along with them new Dallas Cowboy cheerleader outfits.
Yeah, I saw those. Ooh, I'm hot.
Hot, man. How can you resist that stuff?
And I mean uncomfortable.
I think I seen one of them's eyes.
It might have been a little
bit. So, Robin, let me jump in here. Man.
Yes, Steve!
Robin, what's up, friend? There was an interesting article at the op-ed editorial board put out today, which normally I stay out of there because you feel like you need to take a shower after you read that. But they are not happy with the state of Texas. They compared it to the dog that caught the car. And they actually went as far as to say that the Attorney General, Kim Paxton, could be a progressive plant. That's how fed up they are. And they may be onto something, because here's the fact, and we all know this, because we're smart and we're intuitive in here. Women, Republican women, get abortions too.
Dare you say.
Yeah, but they go to, you know, they fly to, like I said earlier, they fly to California.
Yeah.
It's poor women that this affects. It's women who can't travel.
It's targeted.
They compared it to the dog that caught the car. That's my synopsis. Very interesting read.
I'll have to check it out.
And where was it again?
It's in the Wall Street Journal, the editorial section, the editorial board.
Yeah, you're right. That's a cesspool.
It is a cesspool. Normally, I don't wade in there because I feel like you need to take a shower afterwards. But it's not a bad news source. Just stay out of the editorial, the op-eds.
Hey, in light of Texas, and maybe
I'm
someone mentioned
it on the chin to you.
Texas has given us
John.
Texas has given us some great ones. Molly Ivins,
indeed. Great, thank you.
Great Texan. Ann Richards, great Texan.
Thank you.
Bill Moyers, great Texan. I think was Eudora Welty from Texas, Robin?
Mississippi Stan.
Okay. But
Dan Rather
from Texas. So listen, we got some Texas
Hightower.
Yeah, Jim Hightower. There is nothing better. There's nothing better than a Southern liberal. And there's really nothing better than a Texas liberal.
Thank you.
As far as I'm, as far as I'm concerned, Molly Ivins is the fucking bee's knees. I just wish so bad that she were. I just wish she were alive.
The only thing in the middle of the road is dead skunks and yellow lions.
There you go. I just remember she. What one thing she said about Obama? She liked Obama because she said he was the only one who had any Elvis in him.
There you go.
But I had a point. Oh, here's my point. This is what I'm thinking about is this is something that makes the California recall so important.
Yes.
Oh God. And speaking of which, Steve, Larry Elder, the leading Republican.
Jesus Christ. Tell me. I think what you're going to say, please don't say it.
He's been accused of sexual improprieties. Let's use that term.
Tell. Oh, my God.
Wait, whoa, whoa. A right-wing man accused
really?
Of sexual... Whoa.
Right-wing black man.
Oh.
Insinuating a woman isn't pleasant enough looking for his attention.
She wasn't hot enough for him to rape.
Not hot enough for him. Surely it wouldn't be true.
Does that do with hands and accused or not?
Did I you look? I've actually grown to be kind of a Stephanie Miller fan because it's kind of lighthearted and it helps me laugh in the morning. I can't listen to too much. I get my hardcore depressing news from the Horn and particularly from Robin, who is of course, as we all know, transition or not, the little ray of fucking sunshine. Still, certain things will never change. But apparently, they used to work with Larry Elder, and they have these. He was like this mega pig. I don't know if anybody heard. She's been talking about what a pig he was, and apparently, they had a producer. Their show, I think, was on after his, and whatever they were all. They had a producer who was, shall we say, very gifted in the middle of her torso. And he used to make comments about her all the time. And it's funny, the guy, whoever one of her people on her show, the perfect word, and I think Robin, you and I have talked about this, skeevy.
Skeevy.
He said the guy was skeevy. I mean, isn't that like just doesn't? That's one of those words you don't.
Yeah,
actually
the mere mention of his name might makes you want to shower with bleach.
Yes, it does. And isn't skeevy one of those words you might say? I don't know what it means, but I can pretty much tell it's not a. You wouldn't say, "Hey, that's my friend Bob."
No, that's
he's
that,
really.
Yeah,
that, he's a,
yeah,
he's a real skeevy dude.
That's one of those words that just sounds like what it means.
Sounds exactly.
And by the way, in regard, Steve, to your statement that there ain't nothing better than a Texas liberal, Matt in San Francisco, a little bit of umbrage. We San Francisco liberals ain't so bad. Of course, we are on the lips of every right winger, so I will bow to the Texas crowd.
But it's
thank you.
You're liberal
thank
out
you.
There.
Respect well given in return.
Oh, I don't know how easy the. I've implied that in the past, and I have said it out loud. I think I need to rethink that.
I didn't say easy.
No,
easier.
Yeah, because to be proudly liberal and progressive in a Texas or an Alabama or a Mississippi or an Arkansas, South Carolina stand, it's not that it's hard. It is hard, and it's hard here because, for the most part, you're not going to run across a bunch of liberals. They might be if you, and that's the funny thing. If you speak in terms of issues and not labels, people are. People would like to be able to go to the doctor whenever they're sick and not be ruined financially.
You know, I was just going to say that to you. I thought, you know what? If we actually went around saying what we, you know, started talking about what we wanted, what we thought, and then in the end said to our fellow Americans. You do understand that that's liberal, right?
Yeah, it's like Labor Day. How many people in this country are going to just barbecue their little butts off? See what I did there? Butts, John Rinnebo? Barbecue.
I heard that. Yeah, I heard that.
They're going to barbecue their little butts off this weekend, and they are not going to take 1 second to think about
how they have it,
why they have it, or the fact that, you know, if you compare, say, you know, if you can, you know, Blue Lives Matter. If you compare the danger and the death that takes place in the construction trades alone on an annual basis with, like, cop deaths, working people deaths are way out in front.
Try loggers and farmers.
Two linemen have died down in Louisiana.
Yeah. And here in West Virginia, back when I worked in workers' comp, I always thought that coal mining was the most dangerous job in West Virginia. No, it's logging. It's logging. Because so many things can happen, you know, can go wrong so easily. But we have Labor Day for a reason, and most of America won't even ponder it.
Well, and you know what, Robin? You know what the real issue is? Like you just said, people don't realize that they get the day off because of organized labor. But you know what you really don't realize? That 30% off on those blue jeans is because of work. I'm sorry, that was really, really bad.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. By the way, can I is Scott here tonight? Or
no,
is...
no. I haven't heard him yet. Let me get to a couple of other emails. Bernadette says Texas! Exclamation point.
Oh no, Bernadette! I'm sorry.
That was a preemptive apology.
It is.
Don't apologize.
Saw some of the pictures of you while you were on your outing. You got the look, girl. Ooh. Now, Texas. Excuse me. No, fuck that. I appreciate all the guys' voices in support of women on the show. However, as far as I understand this law, anyone who aids and abets a woman in her legal right to have an abortion with knowledge of said abortion can be sued. That defendant then shall be held liable for the $10,000 plus attorney's fees should they lose the frivolous lawsuit. Should the defendant win, they are not able to recover any fees at all. This will deter any person from helping the woman in need. We got so much shit to do in this country, and now fucking Texas. I believe the Republicans have picked the wrong issue with this one. This will motivate more women than anything else in this country. I've lost all compassion for the COVIDiot zombified brain. The fight is on. I have nothing left to lose being a voting black woman who's had an abortion in a Confederate-wishing Jim Crow 2.0 country. By the way, did I say fuck Texas out loud, or was that in my head? No, I was out loud, Bernadette, and I'll say fuck Texas. You want to say fuck Texas too, John?
Fuck Texas, goddamn it! Fuck Texas!
No, I know it hurt.
I'm part of the
show. It's better when Bernadette says it. You can hear, like last night on John's show.
And by the way,
great show last night.
Bernadette says, "I'm trying to stay calm today after going off on John's show last night." Hey, John. Love you, Robin. Love you, Bernadette.
I love that woman.
Oh, I do too.
She has a powerful voice, and it comes from her heart. And I love the way she speaks.
And the pain she has, relieved under this roof alone, is absolutely astonishing and wonderful.
It is.
Hey, Robin, do we have a fuck Texas challenge out there yet?
No, there isn't.
I'll tell you what, there's
80 bucks remaining on Joey and Giraffe's Welcome Back Robin challenge. There is 100 bucks remaining on Scott in Wisconsin's grandkids challenge. There's 100 bucks remaining on Rico and DeBerg's continuing Fuck Joe Manchin challenge. And we met Steve's challenge. And what do you got, Rick?
Can I?
Oh, I'm going to throw in 25 bucks, which is unconditional to meet one of the existing challenges. And I'll throw in another 25 if somebody meets it.
Okay, hold on, Steve. Let me make that clear.
I'm sorry.
It gets a little complicated.
Not a siphon.
So we are now down to 55 bucks to go on Joe and Giraffe's challenge. And if somebody kicks in another 25, then we will be done with Joey and Giraffe's challenge except for $5.
Rick owes you his money.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Sure.
So now there are two challenges remaining. There are now two challenges remaining. Scott in Wisconsin's challenge and Rico in DeBerg's challenge. Thank you both. And thank you, Joey and Giraffe. And Jude, yes, it landed.
Hey, Robin.
Yeah. Yes, Sparky.
GW's got his hand raised.
Oh, okay. Go, man.
Oh, wait a minute. I know this guy.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, I know this guy. This guy had to take over your show last night while you had to go play with your dog.
Hey. Some things are important. I had to go play with my dog. I asked you, hey, stand in here.
I know. No,
double entendre there, man.
I was just going to say, there's good people in Texas. We got one of them on the show tonight.
Thank you.
Yes, we do. Oh, and we got lots of good people in Texas. I mean
that's why I don't want to cut off the supply chain to Texas. You'll hurt too many good people.
There was Waylon Jennings. Think of that. He's a Texan.
Willie.
Let's see. Willie Nelson.
Willie Nelson.
Go ahead, say something bad about Willie Nelson. God will smite you down if there was one.
Yeah, I don't know about Willie sometimes, though. You know, going to outlive Keith Richards, maybe.
Hell, I'll do something bad if you say something about Willie. So I don't think it should be a fuck Texas challenge. It should be a fuck Greg Abbott challenge.
No, that's too narrow. Fuck
you gotta leave it open.
Yeah, fuck
it's
Texas.
The Texas legislation.
Fuck Texas Republicans challenge.
There you go.
Fuck
there
Texas
go.
GOP.
I appreciate the refining. Yeah.
Fuck Tom DeLay, that little
John. John, do you have your song ready for the Texas Texas people?
Give me just 1 second. And we'll tell you exactly what we think the Texas Republicans should do. I'm sorry. I was over here taking care of some other business and had to change channels.
Uncle John.
The Texas Republicans, to save their ass, the best thing they could do.
I just need you to shut the fuck up because nobody asked you, bitch. I need you to shut the fuck up, bitch. Shut the fuck up, bitch. Just shut the fuck up, bitch. Shut the fuck up, bitch. Bow, bow, shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Bow, bow, shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Bow, bow, shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Bow, bow.
Because it doesn't concern
them. Chair dancing.
Chair dancing. I love it. I'm over here spinning in my chair. I am embarrassed, but the donations tonight, that's how come the voice you hear tonight and the voices you hear in this room, the Horn family getting on here and talking, this is pushing the issue. People are mad about this thing in Texas. We should be mad about a lot of damn things across this country. And this is how it's done. This is how a community's voice gets their voice out there. And so, yes,
we got another please
donate to Robin's show because this show is important. It is important, not only because of its liberal progressive views, but because of, and I repeat this all the time, where it is coming from. It is coming from West Virginia. How red do you think that gets down there? And how difficult it is sometimes. Like Robin was just saying, it's not easy, baby. You're not going to go outside and find a bunch of liberal friends out there to hang around and just have a good old time. No.
My neighbors fly the Confederate flag, y'all.
Well, mine too. That's who we live around. You got to have not only courage, but integrity to hold your ground in the face of your own neighbors, much less to express your life and your beliefs on the air for God and everybody to hear. Robin's proud. I'm proud of her. I'm proud of my voice. I'm proud of your voice. I'm proud of every time every one of y'all come on this show. But this show, much like politics, it takes money to run it. And if you don't have the money to run it, your voice gets overwhelmed by those who do. So please.
Can we hear what Ben has to say?
Yeah.
Ben got money?
Go, Ben.
No, I'm just bullshitting you, Ben. I'm just bullshitting you.
Check out that photo I just posted in the chat, guys.
Oh, that Ben. I know this Ben.
I posted that earlier.
Yeah. Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders now members of the Handmaids Tale.
Oh, yeah.
I'll get you for this, Ben. I'm just saying, brother. I'm just saying.
About this is
every time it comes to me.
This
stuff was handled like in the 70s when they went with Roe versus Wade. Now they got to keep
What happens in Texas affects the rest of America.
Yeah. It does.
Of John.
Yes, sir.
Of John. That's a handy
of John,
reference.
Yes.
I got a quick question for Benny.
Yes, sir.
Is that list that was posted earlier simply the top 100 employers in Texas or people having their headquarters in Texas or what?
That's the top 100 names and businesses in Texas.
The top four, well, it's not the top 400, top 100.
Yeah.
Businesses. So, but I noticed, Well, Cisco in Houston, number 20 on the list. Apparently, they have 66,500 employees, and their headquarters out of Houston. But Cisco, it's not their major headquarters kind of thing. I mean, Social Security Administration. Okay, they got 60,000 employees, but clearly the Social Security Administration isn't headquartered in Texas.
Yeah, I don't know why that's on there, because we all know Social Security headquarters is in Baltimore, Maryland.
Yeah, but I mean, I really don't want to boycott Social Security, although it only costs me $236 a month. But, it seems like a good start, but not definitive list of people we should be thinking about saying, screw you.
Well, there's been cause for truckers to boycott Texas, and I don't want that, because then you hurt good people like Uncle John. Can't have that, you know?
Yeah, but like Cisco Systems, who deliver all your frozen food goodies to all the restaurants that just reheat shit, they're headquartered in Houston. Their market value
they are,
is 40.
They are headquartered in Houston?
Yep. 40.
I mean, Cisco Food Service.
As long as don't interfere with HEB. I'm good.
Yeah, here everything's better.
That's where you get my groceries and how you get home.
So. I've been in HEB one time. You know what? I got now maybe this is just geographic bias, but I saw some fantastic grocery stores. But I just got to. I know they're right.
How did HEB rank?
Well, HEB is fantastic, but I tell you what, Publix. I saw the bougiest Piggly Wiggly I've ever seen in my life. While I was down there, but and Publix, I love Publix, but the one that just absolutely takes the cake, it's a chain out of Louisiana, and they've expanded pretty much along the Gulf Coast. I don't know if they've gone over into Texas, John. Rouse's, Rouse's, Rouse's. And they are so Louisiana centric. Oh my heavenly days! You want to talk about that? I found, and for anybody who loves Louisiana food, and I know you do, John, they had little packages of mini muffalettas. This tiny little like silver dollar size slider buns, sesame seed buns, muffalettas. You know, with the meat and the cheese and the olive salad. Whoo! While I was running away from the hurricane, I was running up the road eating those little things for breakfast. And they were so good. Oh, they were good. And they had a freaking wall of barbecue sauce. And I brought back two packages because I couldn't not. I brought back two packages of boudin. And John Bridevo, I know you know what boudin is.
I know what boudin is.
And oh, it's so good. And you know, I won't, but I didn't load up on stuff I can't get up here and bring it home with me this time, because I figured, hey, I'm going back, because I am, and it's going to be wonderful. But I brought back my and I've just about wiped it out. I brought back a tub of the pimento cheese spread from the little restaurant at the top of Court Street in Florence that you can buy in the, and what a great name for a grocery store this is, Food Outlet. Well, okay, Food Outlet it is, but they sell it, and I brought some slaw back from Dick Howell's Pit Barbecue, because I make my own, but I can't touch theirs. It's just awesome. And Rouse's every morning bakes huge, puffy, fluffy, light, airy baguettes, and they put them in a brown paper bag and twist the top. And I picked that thing up, and it warmed my hands. It was that fresh. Oh, my goodness. I need to send out some thank yous. Thank you ever so kindly to Jack in Shreveport. Jack just finished off Joey and Giraffe's challenge and took a $45 bite out of... Scott in Wisconsin's challenge. So there's $55 to go on that and $100 to go on Rico's, and we got 20 minutes. Oh, wait a minute. I could be wrong. Now we got 20 minutes to wipe out $155, and then we are done for the week. We're caught up with the end of August, and it is a miracle.
It would
among,
be a miracle.
It's a miracle among miracles, John Bredevo.
I'm sorry, I had to leave the room up abruptly. I was summoned by my dog.
I understand. I was just waxing philosophical on Rouse's grocery store chain out of Louisiana, and there.
That's where I didn't hear which store it was. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Mini Rouse. Rouse's R-O-U-S-E apostrophe S.
Oh, okay.
And they got and little mini muffalettas, John.
A muffaletta?
Yeah, but mini ones, tiny. They're little bitty. Just, you know, you can just about eat one in one bite.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know.
I'd like to try. Have you ever seen the original muffaletta?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, I have. Okay. I've had the original.
Yeah, bring a friend.
Yeah, no kidding. And they had a wall of different barbecue sauces, really esoteric stuff, you know, things you wouldn't find. And you know, they got roux in a jar, for God's sakes, God. For when you just have to have some gumbo and you don't have time to make roux.
Sounds like a place I'd love to visit.
And the wall of an entire section of the refrigerator case is nothing but boudin.
Oh.
Yeah, see, you were gone. You didn't hear the first time I said boudin.
No, I didn't.
That noise you just made, John, that some good boudin and some Creole mustard. Whew.
Oh, man.
Sounds like you're causing pain over there.
He is.
No, folks don't realize boudin is a very wonderful sausage.
Yes.
Oh, it
some
is.
People have that opinion.
And what is that Cajun blood sausage?
Oh, yeah, I don't like that.
I do.
I forgot what they named that shit. I don't know. I don't like that.
All right, we're going to have to ask Mr. Google.
Yeah. Ask Mr. Google. Blood sausage and Cajun blood sausage. Yeah, no, I draw the line at blood sausage. No, that's all right. That's okay. Give me some frog legs.
Them too.
Let me suck the head of that.
Oh, it's just
fish.
It's blood. It's blood boudin.
Well, there you go. Keep the blood out of that shit, and I'm fine.
How about scrapple, Uncle John? You ever had that delicacy?
Not bad.
Yeah, it's not bad at all. Just don't read the ingredients.
Yeah, Steve. Parts is parts. Parts is parts.
Parts is parts.
Hooves and snouts. Just roll it up with some flour and fry in the pan. You're good to go, man.
Good us, Steve.
So how far are we away from a miracle? You were just saying
$155.
$155. Come on, we got how much time we got?
We got about 17 minutes.
Steve Bannon could.
That's okay.
If we could do this, I know you could do this out there. Yeah, $20, $10, $5. You know, whatever you give is greatly appreciated. So you could knock this out. We could have a miracle here in the next 15. I feel a movement out there. Somebody's heart has just been moved. His name starts. Oh no, wait. Her name starts with an S. S. That's what I'm getting.
Maybe or it might. It might be a V.
Might be a V. Could be a V. I'm
just lucky. They could be a K. I don't know. Maybe an L. See, this is how that psychic shit works. You just move through the alphabet till you get a winner.
You're bound to hit one of them.
Based on what Stephen Dorsey just said about whatever that. Thing was, what was the ingredients? Do you think that Steve Bannon could tell us in hot dogs based on his water?
Oh, I saw a meme that one of my buddies around here posted last week that was just revolting. It said, "You ain't really white people unless you've never you ain't really white if you've never had had hot dog milk." And it was just a picture of some hot dogs floating in a glass of milk, and it's like, God damn, that's disgusting!
I'm not too keen on hot dogs in general.
Well, I can be convinced. I mean,
lots of mustard and onions.
Hot dogs are the official food of West Virginia, and that probably says a lot about the state of our health.
Yeah.
Did you see the latest story about
hot dogs? I've never been known to rush over to a wiener schnitzel or something.
Did you see the latest story about hot dogs?
No.
That every hot dog you eat.
Oh, yeah, I did.
35 minutes off your life.
Yes, I saw that. Yeah.
Can I just tell you though, Robin? I'm sorry. A good subretts or a good
okay, you're going to hate me for this, but a good, like, three-way from Cincinnati with a hot dog and onions and chili and some cheddar cheese on there.
Yeah, no, that's okay. I mean,
there was actually a place back where my grandparents were from and where I was born. They had a drive-in. You know, the old drive-ins where you would go in there and the person would come out and put the tray on your window. They had really good hot dogs and root beer.
If I'm going to eat them, I prefer to have them hot dogs a la Mexicana. It's a hot dog with jalapeno salsa rolled up in a tortilla.
Ooh, that actually sounds really good.
It is.
Yeah, it does.
Sounds really, really good. I was going to say one last thing that I was going to check out for the night, but I have to talk to Robin afterwards. I don't know if you saw my message.
Yes.
We have a couple things to talk about. I don't mean that to sound like, okay, Robin, you got to stand in the corner until we talk about that. I didn't mean that to sound like that.
No, it's just a couple of things.
Okay. I want to get Scott's contact info. I had it on Facebook in my Messenger.
I know, and I will dig and dig and dig until I find it.
And I'm sorry, and if Scott's listening...
Scott's probably not awake yet. This is that part of the year for him.
Okay. But if anybody knows Scott, his contact info, I put my email in the chat. I don't have any problem giving everybody my email. I don't, you know, I'm no secrets here. Please, because I have something I want to send to Scott. And Robin knows what it is, but I'm not telling anybody else. I'm not telling Scott. But I want to get his contact information so I can send it to him.
Jeremy, just tell me. Nobody's listening. Just tell me.
No. Secret. Okay. John, as much as I love you, I love you more than my luggage.
I love you back. Thank you. I'm not. It's a need to know basis, and I don't need to know.
You don't need to know.
And just we haven't said much about the Rona during the program, but I saw via CNN earlier today, and I didn't really quite know how to take this. More than 80% of Americans 16 and older have some level of immunity against the coronavirus, mostly through vaccination. But that is not the same as saying 80% of Americans are vaccinated, because that's simply not true. The way they came up with this is that the CDC surveyed blood donations. But here's the scary part. About twice as many people have been infected with the coronavirus as have been officially counted.
Oh, that's nice. Oh, that's really nice.
So the official counted number is 39 million Americans. So we're looking at basically 78 million. See how fast I ciphered that? It's roughly 78 million people have had it.
Yep. And probably didn't know they had it, right?
Well, yeah, probably.
Some of them did.
Robin, in all honesty, that's probably undercounting.
Yeah, very likely. And so I'm going to controversy. I'm getting my booster as soon as I can.
And you talked yesterday, by the way. You talked me into it.
I'm getting my booster. I'm getting my booster as soon as I can. And I have to be super duper double plus careful between now and November, because the way the scheduling works out, I do all my pre-surgical stuff on Friday, November the 5th. Sunday, November the 6th, I go and get my COVID test, and then, bang, Tuesday, November the 9th. So November the 8th is going to be taken up with prep, so I will not be leaving wherever it is I'm staying or going very far away from it. But everything has to be okay here. So I got 2 months of really, really bearing down on my strength and my health and my well-being.
Can someone mute?
No, but I got 2 months to work on my strength and health and well-being. A good diet, lots of good vitamins and minerals and stuff like that.
Good vibes.
And good vibes.
In a stress-free environment.
So
you don't have to worry about bills. So So
that's a big part of it.
Get on
that's
with that,
that's a huge part of it. You know, so 155 finishes, and it will be an official community-made miracle. And
it's a big thing, the stress that you got to have before you go into this.
Yeah,
you don't want to go into this
worrying about if you got to pay the bills.
Thank you, Jeremy. Yeah, thank you. So we're 145. $45 and we're done with Scott's challenge, and $100 and we're done with Rico's continuing Fuck Joe Manchin challenge.
Awesome.
And really, honest to God, we haven't really touched on that.
Stepping back to the COVID thing for just a minute.
Yeah.
I got interrupted a while back with a phone call from an old friend down in Humboldt County. She and some minimally extended family went to a little league conference playoff state competition bullshit number. 100% vaccinated, 10 people in the party. They went down, they hung out in the motel, they weren't wearing masks outside because that was during the time that it wasn't required. And they came back, and 9 of the 10 people tested positive. They were all vaccinated, and the one who didn't test positive got tested in day 2 or 3 upon return, and the rest of them got tested around day 5. And she was down for about 10 days, didn't go to the hospital, anything else, didn't get retested. But this was a family party of 10 people at a Little League competition with 100% vaccination, and 90%, 9 out of the 10, tested positive for COVID when they got back.
Jeez.
So Delta's a bitch.
Yeah, Delta.
Yeah.
Can I say one last thing? Then I promise I'm going to shut up. I don't know if anybody sees my photo. That's my uncle. I mentioned my uncle a while ago. My uncle, his 1 year anniversary of him dying is tomorrow, and I just wanted to. His kids and my aunt took his ashes up to Mackinac Island in Michigan, and even though it's not legal, they spread his ashes over the island. And it's been it'll be 1 year tomorrow since he didn't die of COVID. I mean, he was pretty sick anyway, but he passed a year ago, and I honor him once again because he was my favorite uncle.
Lovely. And at least your family didn't have the whole thing that happened, you know, when they scattered Donnie's ashes.
Oh my God. Donnie, he was a surfer who loved bowling. You know, when you said Donnie, I was like, who's he talking about? I'm like, oh, how dare I even not remember?
Yeah, see, that's on you.
Yeah, it is on me. I can pretty much guarantee you they didn't take his ashes up there in a Folgers can. I mean, do we not bond over that?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, and I wonder what. You know what I've realized, and everyone will know, and particularly Steve and Georgistan will know. I've come up with what ivermectin is. It's the maggot Brondo.
It is. It's what maggots crave. It's got electrolytes.
It's got electrolytes.
Just don't drink from the toilet.
Water? Like from the toilet?
But circling back to this Delta variant, if anybody has seen the ravages, even if you survive it, my neighbor survived it. She had it for 2 weeks, couldn't get off her couch. Robin, she has aged 10 years. Her hair went gray. I didn't recognize her, man. And she was a very attractive lady, and now she looks old.
Wow.
And it's heartbreaking.
Get the shot.
Get the freaking shot. Yeah.
Get the booster. Get your booster.
I'd get it tomorrow if I could.
We all know that we are at about an average of 1,500 deaths per day now. We're at an average of nearly 200,000 cases per day. And we have a vaccine.
It was almost three yesterday.
Yeah.
2,932 died yesterday.
But I'm saying the 7-day average is.
Well, you know, Trey
just keep coming up with better idiots.
Trey in Kentucky Stan keeps me apprised of the Kentucky numbers.
I don't.
Kentucky Stan's COVID positivity rate is now 13.17% and continuing to climb. And a little breaking news on the rat out your neighbor law. Agnes just sent this to me. Breaking. Texas state judge temporarily blocks the anti-abortion group Texas Right to Life and its associates from enforcing Texas's six-week abortion ban against Planned Parenthood, handing a narrow legal win to abortion rights advocates.
Good.
Told you.
Wouldn't take long.
And, you know,
this will not survive.
And I hope trans women out there understand this. They don't care. They want to shut Planned Parenthood down altogether. Period. It's not just stopping from doing abortions. It is stopping Planned Parenthood. And so, trans women need to be out in the streets over this. Because that is where a tremendous number of us get or begin our hormone replacement therapy. Our journey begins at Planned Parenthood's door. And we're not just allies in this. We're affected. I mean, that whole thing out there of, when they came for the communists, I said nothing right. Because I was not a communist. And when they came for the Jews, I said nothing because I was not a Jew. And go through that. And then when they came for me, there was no one to say anything, because there was no one left.
Do we know who said that?
What was it? Was that Martin Niemöller?
Pastor Martin Niemöller.
Yeah. And you know, we need to understand that all the way down to the ground.
No, you may tell me we need to, and beyond what, and you're 100% right. We need to understand that all of us, no man or woman, is an island. And if a woman's rights or a black person's rights or a whoever's rights are affected, your rights are eventually
on the chopping block. Right. It was years and years and years ago when I heard Malloy first say, "Women's rights are human rights. African American rights are civil rights."
I'm sorry, I said brother. I apologize. Okay.
It's the voice thing. It's easy to the way the my, but
no.
But everything
Stop
that we everything
excuses for me.
Everything I will if up. I will if I want to and fuck you.
Okay. Don't go promising me a good time. Hey, don't go promising
the point is these rights are all under the umbrella of human rights.
Human rights.
And the fact that they have that they have aspects that aim toward one or another marginalized community does not make them any less a right that affects me. And the bottom line on all of this, as I've been saying for, again, years and years and years and years, is that it's not just abortion. If you catch these freaks talking amongst themselves, they will gladly tell you that they want the condoms out of the stores.
Griswold.
Bingo. Griswold. This is all about getting down to Griswold, and it is about exerting the power of the patriarchy to enforce rigid control over the other.
And Robin, along with what you're saying, if anyone in the sound of my voice thinks you are not in the crosshairs. You are,
yes.
You are.
Yeah, and it's and it's not just that you're in the crosshairs. You're already taking fire.
Because this has everything to do with power, and this has everything to do with people who have it trying to working to keep it and to keep other people from getting it.
y'all need to realize that we're all in this together, and that there's no such thing as gay rights.
There's no such thing as women's rights.
And there's no such thing as trans rights.
Right. It's all human rights. But the thing that we're struggling against is, this is a country that, you know, it was 150 plus years ago, it was 160 years ago, when Abraham Lincoln said to America, "A house divided against itself cannot stand." And this house is thoroughly divided against itself. I mean, we didn't really get to it, but Darlene mentioned it earlier, the for-profit media onslaught against Joe Biden. The man is exhibiting a degree of breathtaking competence that is so refreshing after the four nightmare years of nitwit Nero. Can you begin to imagine how fucked up the Afghanistan withdrawal would have been under him? And what a dirty, grifty, filthy, thieving, cut-purse, foot-pad affair it would have been? How dare anybody in the for-profit media, especially people who are supposed to be committed to the facts and the truth, say one cross word about the way that was accomplished? Oh, fuck them to death.
And you know what? I'm going to go one further for you on what you said. This is not about competence. This is about courage.
Yeah.
President Biden showed courage that nobody in the past 20 years showed. And all these people throwing daggers at him and whatnot. And by the way, the one who's the worst at it is Stephen Collinson, who's this cockknocker so-called journalist on CNN who keeps writing the same article over and over again. Biden showed courage and a steel spine and real backbone and took this and has taken the daggers. And Robin has said this, and I have said this, and many people on here have said this, that President Biden has he's exceeded my expectations. I think Robin would be remiss. Exceeded Robin's expectations and a lot of people's expectations, and he's made some stuff. Do I agree with everything? No. But there's an awful lot of shit that I've agreed with that we need to really have his back.
And shame on us if we do not.
And shame on us. And you know what? And if we don't, and shit hits the fan in 2022, we don't have anybody but to blame but ourselves.
We have seen the enemy, and he is us. And I have huge thanks to send out. Thank you to Shorty in L.A. The miracle.
What I think you are going to say?
The miracle, it is accomplished.
Praise be unto all who gave into the show tonight. Praise be unto you.
So
I'm doing jazz hands right now.
Yes, Steve, your challenge is met. Billable Rick's challenge was met.
Awesome.
Rico's challenge was met. Scott in Wisconsin's challenge was met. Joey and Giraffe's challenge was met,
and
Bruce's Memorial Challenge was met.
Awesome.
Outstanding.
Is this the biggest?
Thank you, miracle? Horn family. Thank
is
you deeply.
Is this the biggest miracle we've ever had?
I think it is. I think it is.
Thank you to every one of you.
Again.
And thank you to those who wished they could have but couldn't financially. Thank you for having that in your heart.
Yes. Indeed. Absolutely. Thank you. And by the way, I got a note from our pal Angelo from the People's Republic of the Bronx. Former Associate Professor of Information Studies at the University of California, Los Angeles, Phil Agri, defined conservatism thus. Question, what is conservatism? Answer, conservatism is the domination of society by an aristocracy. Question, what is wrong with conservatism? Answer, conservatism is incompatible with democracy, prosperity, and civilization in general. It is a destructive system of inequality and prejudice that is founded on deception and has no place in the modern world.
Well said.
Exactly. Matt in San Francisco, subject line Biden, even if he doesn't accomplish another thing, he was worthy of my vote.
Outstanding. Thank you.
And the thing is, he wants to accomplish so very much. And between the Republicans, and there he is again, Joe Manchin, and, of course, curtsying Kyrsten Sinema, because she's got concerns about a $3.5 trillion infrastructure bill, does. Too. Yes, doesn't she just? She's a She's a little concerned troll in a plaid skirt.
Yeah.
Bitch.
She's a sucker for a line, is what she is.
Mm-hmm.
Robin?
Yes?
I just want to say, and I've said this a few times on John's show, the Afghanistan thing happened on Trump's watch, it would have been like monkeys fucking footballs.
Had the monkey in the football.
Yep.
There you go. Good day, TW.
And like you said so many times, Robin, we print our own money. Deficit be fucking damned.
Yeah, you know what? I got something I want to say, too.
Yes?
Hello, Ben.
Ben.
There's Ben.
There you go, Ben. You had something to say.
Yeah. Now we can't hear you.
That's a nice. That's not nice. The lights ever feel like that, Sparky. You're about to speak. That's really mean.
I didn't do anything.
It's always the producer's fault.
That's twice.
Take responsibility. The buck stops with you.
I was going to ask you, in your guys' areas, have they been putting in, like, mask mandate so far?
Make West Virginia great big old Governor Jim Justice knows we need one. He's been dawdling. In no way, shape, form, or fashion do me and Baby Dog want to infringe upon anybody's personal liberty to keep this here goddamn Delta variant from eating us alive, because it already is, but might have to do it. And that, of course, is another nightmare. That's because if... You know, the other looming thing in the background is postponing elective surgeries. Now, if you ask me, my surgery's not elective. It's life-saving. But the rest of the world sees it as just, you know, something I want to do.
Robin, I don't want to interrupt, but I'm going to go ahead and say goodnight, because I'm being called again, and I don't...
I understand. John Bredevoe, you have a lovely weekend.
Robin, you also, thank you. Yep, that's, you know, between the dog and the parrot screaming. Yeah, it's
well,
a lot
please,
of noise
please
there.
Give my, please give my fondest greetings to the whole Bredevoe, the whole Bredevoe tribe. And,
thank you.
Hey, John.
Yeah.
Before you go, I want to say something to everyone. Sparky just shared something in the chat. 11 Senate House Republicans. I don't know if it's Senate House Republicans or if it's House of Representative Republicans.
It's the House.
Legal action. If any company like Facebook or Google or Twitter or all that comes and testifies for the January 6th committee.
Well, that's not quite what he posted. It had to do with the subpoenas for information, and the Republicans are claiming the subpoenas aren't for legislative action, and therefore they would be liable because the House does not have the power to subpoena just for information for, and I'm putting this in, a witch hunt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, good, and I didn't realize.
Robin, I love you.
I love you too, take John. And like I said, my best to the whole family. Just tell them I love them to pieces, please.
Will do, Robin. And the love is returned to the whole Horn family. And thank you all for the miracle that came through. It keeps a little stress off, Robin. So, thank you from the Blue Dot family to the Horn family.
Thank you so much, John. Take care.
You bet.
See you Sunday, John.
Just a couple of things on the way out the door. Flavio reminds us, while Biden was realizing the most massive airlift of people from a war zone in U.S. history, Eric Prince was over there charging people $6,500 a head to ferry them out of Afghanistan.
And we all know who that is.
Sleazy motherfuckers. Yeah, yeah. And $3.5 trillion.
Capitalism, you got to let it flourish.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
It's what drives our economy.
And $3.5 trillion, Matt in San Francisco says, as I see it, those against the Build Back Better plan are saying to the American public, you are not worth spending money on. Screw them. Screw them all. Amen, Matt.
Now, just a short flashback to the mask mandates. Here in Oregon, it is now, the governor came out and said you got to wear a mask even out in the general area if you can't social distance, da-da-da-da-da. Here in Eugene, it seems to be working, although Costco just had an outbreak of 21 employees in my local Costco store with COVID. There's no enforcement. And
right.
Part of that phone call I had with this friend down in California, she had some people that came up to Coos Bay, and nobody's wearing masks down in Coos Bay, even though it's a state mandate. But here in Oregon, the Nissan dealership, the Costco store, the Safeway, everybody's wearing masks.
I was just talking to my doctor, and they were basically just telling me right now that they have, in Boulder, Colorado, they're going to make it a mandate that people need to wear masks. Well, that's Boulder. Boulder's, you know, kind of like a second city type, whatever. But Denver is going to probably be doing it soon, and although the rest of the suburbs, because it's getting out of hand again. The hospitals are full.
Yeah, and you know, there is cause for some. Maybe I was just in the wrong places or the right places, but when I was down at the beach, everybody.
But you were
I was in Alabama, and everybody was wearing a mask in the grocery store. I found that routinely through Alabama, which is just surprising as hell. There at the University of Alabama Medical Center, there was no problem with wearing masks. And maybe it's because, if it's going to be somewhere, it's going to be here. I better put my mask on. But they were getting it right. And oddly enough, I saw less masks in stores here in West Virginia than I saw in Alabama. Damn.
See, do you think folks are finally getting it, Robin?
Maybe some.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Let me add this. I called my local drugstore. I can't even remember why, but they had a preemptive recording saying they were out of vaccinations. So that's a good sign.
Yeah, well, while I was there, I heard at one point that Alabama had administered more vaccines in one day than they had in the previous 3 months. So
I wonder if that was after the Trump rally.
Oh, God. Well, you know, I can tell you, this is how paranoid I am. You know how in your car, in your ventilation system, you've got fresh air in versus recirculated? The minute I got near, Coleman County, where the maggot rally was, I turned on that recirc. And I was driving. I wasn't even sitting. I wasn't going in. And there was no way in heaven or hell I was going to stop in Coleman County. Just because, well, that's crazy. But you know, when you do the recirculated air, it's all going through a HEPA filter.
Yep.
Wow. Who's doing that? One last thing. You know, one of the things I mentioned that I wanted to do while I was going down there. There is one Pasquale's Pizza location left, and it is in Gardendale, Alabama. And so, coming back, I wanted to, after I nearly got drowned on the highway, it freaked me out. So I made it a little ways up the road, and I got off the highway at Gardendale, and I thought, okay, I'm going to go get that sandwich now. They call it a Stromboli steak sub. Haven't had one in, 40 years probably. 38 years. And I thought, ooh, I hope they still make them the same one, because they were so good. Garlic bread hoagie roll with, like, toasted and this slab of, you know, ground beef with brown gravy and onions and garlic and cheese and yum. And so I found my, you know, I asked Dr. Google to take me to Pasquale's Pizza in Gardendale. And I went down and around and around and down. There it was. And it was a Sunday. I thought, well, maybe they're closed on Sunday. I don't know. And I pulled up close to the window, and it said, "Closed due to kitchen fire." I'm like, "Son of a gun!" And then I thought for a minute, wait, this is Alabama. Yeah, I'll bet there was a kitchen fire. I bet there was a COVID fire in the kitchen. I bet everybody's got the freaking disease. But I don't know. But, you know, only me. But that was one of the few dark spots on an otherwise lovely trip. And I thank you all for your forbearance and the time that I was. Sometimes it's just good to get away. I mean, I know people take breaks from this program. Like, just can't handle it. There's just too much shit going on. Robin, I'll be back, but I'm not going to be there right now. I'm like, cool, I get it. Well, sometimes I need that too. And I got a little bit of it. And it was just a lovely trip, except for the hurricane part. And now there will be another trip down there. I figure we'll probably blow out of here on November the 3rd. Plan is to rent a house down there. I will be on the air as soon as I am healthy enough to be on the air. And not so much healthy enough, but just strong enough, because this is a big thing.
Hey, Robin.
Yeah.
What do you think about that new hurricane that's forming out there that's threatening possibly the Carolinas or New York?
Oh, God. What's its name?
I didn't see that one. I've seen the one going towards Bermuda. Frank?
Well, Henri went to Bermuda. This would be a J hurricane.
Let me see. Let me look on the radar and see what the projected path is right now.
And I mean, there's nothing to really make hurricanes understandable to you, like walking into some water that is as warm as the bath you get in.
But it's out just right now off the coast of. I say it once. It's north of South America, and it looks like it's going west, northwest.
Well, this was Ida, so this next one will be J, K. Yeah. And
Larry looks like it's headed towards Bermuda. Now that could.
Oh, okay. So we're past J, K, and we're into L.
Yep. Yep. I just posted it.
Okay.
I'll share a little bit of positivity with you guys just to bring up the mood of the last bit here. So yesterday at lunch, I meet Joey outside the restaurant. We head in. He's like, "You mind if I bring Joffrey?" I'm like, "No, go ahead, right, bring him right in." So we sit down, and the waitress comes over, and he's told me how old he is. I told him how old I am. She's 20 years old, younger than me and way younger than him, and she keeps looking at the giraffe, keeps looking at him, and starts playing along. Which is nice, not in, like, asking why is he there. And this
yeah,
and
everybody and plays of, along with Jeffrey. It's the damnedest thing.
But they don't do it on purpose. Because she kept looking over, and she didn't want to look like he was crazy or anything like that. She'd be all nice and nice. And then she referred to him in third person. And Joey stopped mid-sentence and said, "Gotcha, you're one of us now." It was hilarious.
Oh, and you know, the same thing happened June 5th at Maggie's. You know, everybody played right along, and you know, Jeffrey was just part of the proceedings. It's amazing how that happens. By the way, I got a note from Dave in Talibandiana, and Dave says, "Yahoo for you! You got a Yahoo from Christine when I told her about your surgery date. So you definitely got a full-throated Yahoo from Christine. Have a great weekend, Robin. Talk to you later. Thank you, Dave." And thanks to all of you, and I hope you have a wonderful holiday weekend. And remember why we have Labor Day. And thanks, everybody, for the community-made miracle this evening. That means that two critical bills get paid, and it's tremendously important. And just, you know, keeping some of the stress off, because ain't nobody here trying to buy a Gulfstream jet. We're just surviving. Well, thank you so much. I think that's Faith saying, so glad you're back, Robin. Much love, Faith. Okay, it was Faith. Yay! Hey, Faith. And just by way of, and this was amazing to me. I'll just wrap up with this. I left here, as I described on the air, worried, nervous. And nervous about being hurt, accosted. But as I drove, you know, No getting around it. You're gonna have to stop for gasoline. You're gonna have to take bathroom breaks. And I was a little worried. Well, I had that awful experience at the motel in Florence. I can't hear a word you're saying with that thing on your face. And so I got up that Wednesday morning. I was going to stay an extra day, but I got up that Wednesday morning, and I blew hell-bent for leather for the coast. And I got down there, and I was among my sisters and some non-gender siblings and a brother. And, you know, over the course of those few days, being around them, total acceptance empowered me and made me know more than I had going down just exactly who I was and how I was, and that it was okay to be who I am. It was a reminder. Y'all have made it so okay. That's the point of all of this. If you ever meet somebody like me, you don't need to understand them. You just need to accept them. And so when I came back up the road, I came back up the road fully unapologetic and just committed to living my own existence and stronger, more determined, somewhat elated because of the news I got. And so, like I said, when I thank you for your forbearance in my absence, I mean it from the bottom of my heart. Because the time that I spent away, I think, helped in this ongoing process of me being a better person. And so here we are, 12 days away from one solid year without a cigarette, and one solid year on my journey to be my authentic self. So I thank you. Thanks to each and every one of you who are Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thanks to our a la carte contributors. All of you are the reason this program continues to exist, and the only reason. Thank you to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in this program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve in the chat room and over Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable Room in the Old Holler Tree. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. Head on .live. Brand new Fresh Malloy on the way, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. Oh, and that's another thing. I worked on my voice extensively. It's really hard to do for over 3 hours of programming, but for short bursts, I can do it, and I can feel really good about it. And it really helps in just sort of fitting in and not being clocked or read. And just like when, like, if you buy a purple car, all of a sudden you're going to notice there's a lot of purple cars all over the place. As an SLW, now I notice that there are a lot of cis women out there who are 6 feet and more, or near 6 feet. And it helps. It really, really helps. What else? Well, thank you, John Fox in Australia. I hope things get sorted for you soon. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. This would be a great time to reach out to your member of the House of Representatives and ask them to please, 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 co-sponsor H.R. 2073, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act. It means the world to Appalachia. And please stay safe. Get your booster shot, your vaccine if you haven't already. Encourage someone to get theirs. Wash your hands, don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer, take it with you everywhere you go. Use it liberally. Wear your mask. 15 feet social distance, 15 to 20 feet, according to Paul from Parts Unknown. I tried to make sure I did that all along the way, and it's pretty successful, I thought. And for God's sakes, if somebody comes towards you saying, you know, I want to distance myself from the Q vortex now, and I'd prefer you didn't call me the QAnon shaman anymore, avoid that person like the plague, because he is. Have a wonderful holiday weekend, everybody. So good to be back. Later.